Blog Talk Radio.
I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. The angel in heaven done signed my name. I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. The angel in heaven done signed my name. I went down to the water, and the water, it was so cold that it chilled my body, but it did not touch my soul. No, you know that I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. The angel in heaven done signed my name. I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. The angel in heaven done signed my name. Jesus is on the mainland. Tell him what you want. Oh, I know that Jesus is on the mainland. Tell him what you want. Oh, I know that Jesus is on the mainland. Tell him what you want. You just call him up and tell him what you want. If you are sick and you can't get well, come on and tell him what you want. Oh, I know that if you are sick and you can't get well, come on and tell him what you want. Oh, I know that if you are sick and you can't get well, come on and tell him what you want. You just call him up and tell him what you want. For his line is never busy. Come on and tell him what you want. Oh, I know that Jesus' line is never busy. Come on and tell him what you want. Oh, I know that Jesus' line is never busy. Come on and tell him what you want. You just call him up and tell him what you want. Amen, amen. Good morning. Praise God. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope, trust, and pray that you have been good to God, and more so that God has been good to you over the course of this past week. Want to always remind everyone that at 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18 mindset, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in all circumstances, give thanks unto the Lord. We're just excited today because today is a day that the Lord has made, and we need to be glad and rejoice in it. Last week, we had a great time. Last couple weeks, we've had a great time, and this week will be just as well. We set aside this Teacher Appreciation Week, and we can never appreciate our teachers enough, can we? Come on, somebody. However, 1 week is just not enough to give an honorable tribute to the true work of teachers. Therefore, we will continue throughout the year talking about some of the great stories and some of the great accomplishments that surface because of proper, wholesome teaching. Teaching deals with the home. Teaching deals with society. Teaching deals on the job force. Proper teaching is the backbone of our human existence. Teaching fosters curiosity. Teaching fosters creativity. Teaching fosters building skillful individuals. Come on, somebody. It even fosters strengthening citizens that need to be informed. Whatever your profession is, whatever your hobby is, whatever your craft or skill may be, a person's level of training excellence, come on, somebody, their level of training excellence is always determined and evaluated by the level of retained learning from teaching. I maintain, always have maintained, that learning is 10 to 20% gifted talent, and we all have at least one. But learning is 10 to 20% gifted talent and 80 to 90% discipline and practice. That's where you put in the sweat and the tears, and that's where you get in your dojo, or that's where you get in your wood shop and you go to work, right? 10% to 20% gifted talent and 80 to 90% discipline and practice. We have a saying in the music industry that practice does not really make perfect, but practice literally makes permanent. You keep doing something long enough, even good or bad, then it's going to be tough to turn that. Reprogramming someone or reprogramming something is not easy. It is the exercising of your talented gift that gives you bandwidth, flexibility, and accessible recall ability. Bandwidth, flexibility, and accessible recall ability whenever it is needed. Think about it this way. If you don't regularly talk to God, you don't regularly pray to God, is it true that it becomes difficult to talk to God when times get tough? On the other hand, if you stay in constant conversation with God, the Bible says, what? Pray without ceasing, right? You stay in constant conversation with God. Then it's just another paragraph to talk about in your daily life discussions with the Lord. Let us remember that God never disconnects the phone on our call. It is us that hangs up the phone on him. Maybe you just need to talk to God, have just a little talk with Jesus, so everything will be all right. Again, you may have heard the expression, so goes the home, so goes the church. So goes the home, so goes the community development. So goes the home, so goes our future development. Teaching must begin in our homes, and our mothers and parents and guardians have always been our first teachers. And if it begins in our homes, that's how it's going to clearly affect our homes. And maybe one of the reasons that our homes are affected so badly today is because maybe there's been something wrong with some of the teaching, or it has not been passed on, the respect factors and et cetera, the values that need to be passed on from generation to generation. Today, I got a treat for you. Today, I want to begin our segment entitled Powering Through Life's Against All Odds. That's right. Powering Through Life Against All Odds. And I want to introduce to you and introduce to our listening audience today an amazing individual. Let me say that one more again. This is an amazing individual who has literally a heart of gold. She also comes from a love-enriched family with deep roots, and she is truly someone I believe you should know. You know, you said the TV show, someone you should know. This is someone I believe you should know. She's going to share her story with us today in hopes that someone will listen and learn how to power through life against all odds. She's a vocalist. She's a designer. She designs flowers and wedding receptions and baskets and et cetera. She even makes money corsages. Come on, somebody. She is a dialysis and a kidney transplant survivor. This is an amazing story from an amazing woman who loves the Lord. I want to welcome everyone, introduce everyone, and welcome Wanda Rucker to the Praise God, Let's Talk About It radio show. Good morning, Sister Wanda. How are you today?
Good morning. Thank you so very much. I give praise and honor to God. I want to thank you, Mike, just having the opportunity for me to be on your show today to tell my story. Like Mike said, I am a current patient of a transplant. I also had my leg amputated in 2019. I'm also a patient model for Northwestern Hospital. I've been blessed to be a mentor to mentor new amputee patients. Also, I'm a mentor for the organ transplant nationwide. My story has been a big journey in my life. I went through fear, anxiety, depression, all above. But through God's help, my family, my church family, my friends, my loved ones, I'm not 100%, but I'm close to it. Everything in my life changed tremendously. It was just by a twinkle in the eye. The doctor stated with my disease that I have, many people don't make it to after 6 months. But glory be to God, I'm standing here before you. It's been 3 years. I thank each and everyone on this call line. I thank God for Mike being a part of my cab driver, being there for me when I needed him, taking me to dialysis, taking me to different places. I just thank and give God honor. And just letting people know that what you go through in life is not about you. It's about someone else. And my pastor, Pastor LaJuan Winfield, he taught me that. And the love and the caring that my family and friends show me, I am grateful. That's it, Mike.
Amen. Hello? Amen. Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Did you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you fine, Wanda. Sound great. So you know, you've had a lot of uphill battles, and it's
yes.
taken you through an emotional roller coaster.
Yes.
If I remember right, we met with I think so Tricia got us connected together, and
right.
you were a dialysis patient there in Mount Sinai Hospital. And so he was having trouble getting back and forth, and so I was able to somewhat fit you into my schedule to get you there and come get you afterwards. And we had to kind of do some creative stuff to make it happen, but we was able to get the consistency because you had to be there, what, 2 or 3 days a week, if I remember right. And talk about how difficult it was being on dialysis, if you would.
It was very difficult. For first of all, by me being in a wheelchair, I had trouble getting there. First thing that I had trouble getting down the stairs because I stay on the second floor. So one thing that I had to do was call. My daughter did some research, and the fire department started bringing me up and down the stairs. Second of all, I was riding with Pace. And Pace only give you 5 minutes, and they used to leave me. And I used to just sit there and cry because I know that I needed dialysis, but I didn't have no way of getting there. The third thing was Sue Tricia, which I thank God for her. I was sharing my story with her one day, and she told me about Mike. And Mike been my driver now for 3 years, well, going on 4 years now. But Mike used to take me to dialysis through the rain, the snow, the bad weather. He would make sure I would get in that front door. Mike was consistent with me. He would pick me up, and he would drop me off. And I know that I needed dialysis to live because I wanted to live. And I felt that God had something planned for me. That's why he put Mike in my life, because my family had other things to do, and it was something that I needed to do. And by me being on dialysis and getting left all the time through Pace and didn't have a way to get there, God placed Mike in my life.
Yeah, and so we were going back and forth, and sometimes it was, you know, anybody know about Mount Sinai Hospital or emergency hospitals? Lots going on over there sometimes. They have it blocked off and gated and policed and everything else. But the rain, sleet, snow, we got her there, and she was able to get up, and the transport would get her there and bring her back, and we'd get her back home. And I got a call on a Friday. Well, we were scheduled to pick her up, and she said, you don't have to come and get me because they're getting ready to get me ready for a kidney. You want to talk about that?
Yes. Last year, September of 2022, I got a call, and they asked me, Ms. Rucker, today is the perfect day for a perfect kidney. And I was, like, just stunned. I
know you're right.
I couldn't survive. Because it was amazing because it happened so fast. And when I got the call, I called my family, and they got here as soon as possible to get me. And as we was going inside UIC, they stopped my daughter, and the police in his truck came through. And as they was coming through, it was the transplant truck bringing my kidney. So we both arrived at UIC at the same time. But it was amazing because I was on dialysis for 5 years, and I didn't give up. I continued to go. But God blessed, even though through that process I lost my leg, but God blessed me with that kidney. So it's no more dialysis anymore, and I thank God for it. But I did have fallbacks. I did have a setback, but through it all, I have accomplished that setback, and my kidney is doing great.
Yeah, and man, it was amazing to me to hear, you know, because you was going to dialysis, what, 3 days a week? Was it 3 or 4 hours on the machine, is that correct?
Yes.
And then they put you, they gave you a kidney, and which was an amazing thing, knowing that's nothing but God's provision. And so you go from dialysis to, what, 13 pills?
No, more than 13 pills. I said 13 plus every day.
Okay.
But every day. But the good thing about it, that those pills plus 13, they have helped me, and they kept my kidney functioning. So, yes, I do take a lot of medication, but my kidney is functioning. And that's what it's, you know, basically all about. As long as I do what I'm supposed to do and have God by my side, I can do all things through Christ that strengthen me, that my mom had taught our family. If I keep going and going, everything could be great. And it is great. So
my story is
to you guys that a lot of things happen in our life. We don't understand. We don't know why. But, you know, we have to believe and trust God through the process. I mean, my whole life changed. But through it all, trusting God, I made it. And I still have some more to accomplish. And through being a model for Northwestern Hospital, one of the top hospitals in the hospital, I mean, in Chicago, and being a patient mentor for Rush. Now I'm on an organ transplant nationwide mentor to just encourage people to, it's all right to submit an organ or give an organ to save someone's life. You know, it's so important that we as people don't know that just one kidney can save a person's life. And I thank God for a second chance.
Yeah, you were living a normal life, and then you had this episode that happened, and just seemed like all hope was lost. And then now you're on your upward climb, and, man, they can't stop you now. I mean, can you talk about that roller coaster ride you went through?
Hey, that roller coaster ride is still bumpy, but I thank God because
it's still bumpy.
I used to have to climb up the stairs, go up and down 16 stairs every day because I stay on the second floor. And God blessed me through the city, which is help out here for everyone that need help, where I got the fire department to bring me down the stairs and up the stairs. The city put a lifter outside my house where I can go up and down the stairs. Also, the city blessed me with a lift going up brand new. And then turn around 2 months ago, they built me a walk-in shower, a rolling shower in my bathroom. So that roller coaster that I went through, that depression and anxiety and everything, I've been blessed through it all. And I thank God, I thank my family, my team, my support team. If it wasn't for my sisters and my nieces, my daughter, my granddaughter, people that's in my life, I wouldn't have made it. You need a support team because that roller coaster can get really bumpy going up and down. But when you got that support team, your church family, you know, you can do it. And first, you got to have God. That's the main one. And trust
Amen.
Us and believe.
Amen. Yeah, so just having a solid support, your family, with community, with everything around you, your relationship with God pulls you right through, and he always provides what you need. And then on top of that, with everything going on, your mother passes away.
Devastating. Yeah.
So, and like you say, devastating. But you guys have done some great stuff. You've got a scholarship now for her and et cetera. You want to talk about your family and what some of the family values that she instilled in you? And, you know, like we're talking about today's youth, what do you think today's youth need to hear that we don't have, you know, some old school stuff that we don't have or that needs to be passed down that will help them to keep powering through all obstacles?
Okay, well, my mother, we have a Lovey Rucker Walker Foundation through my mom. My mom used to work for Greenwich Foundation where they supply the needy, the children, whatever they need. One of the things that my mom still and all five of her girls was, we can do all things through Christ that strengthened us. And that was her motto with us. Growing up, one of the fourth child, I learned a lot by watching my mom and my sisters, my older sisters. My mom used to be a nurse, also worked for her house associate She was a daycare. She had so much going on in her life, and she was my role model. She'd forever be my role model. And with the support team that our youth need today, we need that Madea and Grandmama back. I think if we had that back in our life, and things would be totally different with the youth, the discipline that we used to have to sit on the front porch when the light come on. We used to be where we get in trouble, the next door neighbor will share with our mom. You know, it's a lot of things that have changed over the past years that our youth need, and a lot of youth need support, love. I see a lot of lost love in our youth today that when back then when our parents, my mother, taught us.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. So it's just a wonderful thing. And you guys got the scholarship, the Lovey Rucker Foundation, and I think you got did you award somebody the scholarship this year?
Yes, it's called Lovey Rucker Walker Foundation. Yes, this year was our last year was our first year where we honor this single mom that had five kids, and we blessed her with everything she needed, and we blessed her and her children with everything they needed for the holiday. And this is our first thing that we did in honor of our mom last year. Also, I want to share, too, my mom was a director of Parkway Community House until she retired, and she was a teacher, and that's where I followed my footsteps from, because I was a teacher for 15 years, and then from being a teacher, I became a patient coordinator for Michael Reese Hospital until they closed down. So I just wanted to make sure I throw that out there, too, that she was very successful. And I did follow where all of us, daughters, grandchildren, follow her footsteps. Because we have nurses, we have teachers and everything in our family due to what mom instilled in us as we was younger. She really inspired everybody. Anybody she came to connect to. Yeah.
That is so awesome.
Yes.
My wife is on the line. I don't know if you had a chance to talk with my wife. I know she got a chance to hear your story. Marie, you there, dear?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing?
Thank you. I'm great. Thank you, Mike. I'm great.
Yes. I hear your story, but what I hear from you, I hear compassion. I hear so much motivation, and I hear mom all in you, and that's such a blessing to have that example, but more so you have God, and that's a blessing of knowing who he is and knowing what he's capable of doing. I hear so much joy in you. I don't hear the struggles that you went through. I hear you saying, thank you, Lord, for bringing me through. That's what I hear in you, because there's so much I just hear joy. I don't hear the, you know, why me syndrome. I hear so much like all, like you said, all things are possible. So I thank you for, my husband talks about you all the time, and I just thank you for being there, for just being an encouragement to him, because he enjoyed helping others, and you were a gift for him to help, and he appreciated that. So thank you as well. And I just want to say to you, thank you. Thank you for being who you are, and thank you for loving the Lord, and thank you for your motivation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wanda, that's Felix's sister.
Yes. Thank you, First Lady. Yes. I appreciate
that.
Yes.
And my brother, Felix, one thing I do say about my brother is, he has a heart of gold. That's how I describe my brother Felix. He has a heart of gold. He loved the kids. And I just see all this joy around me right now. And I'm just so grateful to just be speaking with you right now. It's really beautiful. Again, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, ma'am. My mother is on as well. I want to give her an opportunity to say a few things, and also just to she may have knew your mother. I'm not for sure. She was here in Chicago quite a bit. Mom, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, baby. Can you hear me?
Can hear you fine, yes.
Okay. This is really a good segment, and I am so glad to be able to hear, number one, as your mother, how you are using your profession to minister. I've noticed that in quite a few things, and I think that's special. First of all, let me commend you and tell you how proud I am of you for, you know, not just going, getting in the cab and just doing whatever, but actually ministering to people like this sister here. And I really appreciate hearing your story of deliverance and of how God had brought you out. Because I'll tell you, it takes people like you to change the minds of some people. Because in our community, as I'm sure you know, the idea of giving your organs up when you die is not a popular thing. But
right,
because
right.
of stories like yours, it opens our eyes to see where we can really be of benefit, even if the Lord takes us out of here. You know, maybe if our time has come, that's one thing, but then we can leave a legacy through our organs, so somebody else whose time has not come can continue on. So this is a great, great segment that you are bringing of awareness. And I see why they are using you as a mentor in these areas, because especially in our community, it is not, you know, it's not popular to talk about organ donation. We don't, where I came, that's where I'm going, you know. But you are teaching something, because here you are, a survivor. And one of the reasons why is because of organ donation. And so I thank you for being transparent and open and letting us know. Because truly, in our community, people like you are needed
yes.
so badly, because it's counter, it's against our natural culture to say, okay, take my organ for somebody else. You know, we don't do that. But if we did more of that, more of our people would survive. And so
yes.
You're still teaching. I just want you to know that. I know you were an educator. I heard you say that, and your mother and the legacy that she left you. But you have not quit teaching. You are still teaching. Yeah, you're still a teacher. So you might as well say, no, just say I'm a teacher, and just say it, put an exclamation point behind that. Because in our community, you are helping so many people. You know, my mindset has been changed because of some other folks that I know that have benefited from organ donation personally. But that you're saying over this radio broadcast and any others you can get on, I'm telling you, will help our community. Because just be real honest about the Caucasian community, they very seldom have a problem. But when you talk black folks about giving up organs, you know, you like that's like pulling their last tooth. We don't do that, you know. But we need to do that. And you, as a spokesperson, are so articulate about it and so genuine. That's what touched me about your story. You just, you know, down-home folk, look, this is what happened to me, and this is how I got it together, and this is what we need to do to help other people. It was so genuine. And like my daughter-in-law said, and now on the other side of all that trauma, I hear the joy of how God has brought you through in victory. You know, a lot of times we get stuck in the trauma, but I don't see you stuck in the trauma. I hear victory for what God has done. Oh, I hear it, darling, for what God has done in your life. And I'm so grateful for you also. Let me just commend you while I'm here for giving credit to the legacy of your mother and the family that have come up in her legacy. A lot of things you said, she said, sounds like a lot of stuff I do. So, you know, I like that. But, yeah, I do. It sounds very, very, in some areas, not the educational area, but you said she did home daycare. I did home daycare. She was, you know, she had this program and that program. So, I mean, this is what we need in our community. And we need to go back, as you said, and I've said so many times, maybe not on this show, but on the line before, that we don't have grandmas and grandpas like we used to have, and the kids need them. And instead of folks trying to be young, we need to go back to being grandma. If we grandma, we need to be grandma. We don't need to be trying to be, you know, young. We need to be grandma because those children are missing out. And the young mothers and young fathers are missing out on the training that comes through wisdom of older people. Sometimes the older folks want to be young like the young folks, and ain't nothing worse than an old fool. I'm telling you now, it's really sad to see how people are 60 and 70 years old still trying to keep up with 50-year-olds and 40-year-olds. It's sad when they should be passing on wisdom. There's nothing wrong with getting older. The only alternative to that is leaving here. So we need to give that wisdom. And like you said, be on these steps when the streetlight come on and do this and do that. A lot of our young people wouldn't be in trouble today if they had somebody teach them. You get home when that streetlight, don't let that streetlight catch you. Because we weren't allowed to let the streetlight catch us, baby. The streetlight did not catch you. It wasn't wise for the streetlight to catch you. Because if you got home after that streetlight, there was a switch or a switch on you. You know, you beat it. Even if you didn't know quite when the streetlight was coming on, you beat it for going out because you didn't want to get a whooping when you got home. And that kept a lot of us out of jail and out of trouble, you know.
Yes.
So your story, let me just commend you, highly commend you, because your story is so needed. Don't ever think, listen to me closely. Don't ever think that your story is not needed. What you are saying is vital to the African-American community. It's vital. It's vital to any community, actually. But not most so to the African-American, not even that, to the Hispanic community, because the Hispanics don't do that either. You know, they ain't big on organ donation either. You know, we just don't do that. And we need somebody like you to tell us, come on, wake up, baby. There's people that could live on. You know, if you would just do this. So thank you for being transparent and being open with us on today. Thank you. And as this goes out, I'm sure this will affect a lot of people for the good, because what you have been through, you know, the Bible said what the devil meant for evil, God made it for good. And I see that in your story. I see it in your story. I do. I see it in your story. And listen, don't come talking about you used to be a teacher, because that's not true. You are still a vital teacher in our community, and thank you for being so. God bless you.
God bless you, Mother. God bless you for those encouraging words. Thank you so very much.
Amen. We have a line full of callers. I want to give them an opportunity to at least say hello or say something here. Got a caller that's just turned in. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning. You got a chance to hear Sister Rucker?
Yes. Who am I? Is this Mike?
This is Mike, yes.
Okay. I didn't know if you could hear me. I'm sorry. This is Sandy. This is Wanda's sister.
Okay, Sandy. I don't have any names. There's a bunch of numbers up there. So.
That's okay.
I don't want to call nobody out their name and be in trouble.
That's all right.
I ain't messing with
that's
them Rucker.
Right.
I ain't messing with y'all.
I'm even glad to get through. Mike, I want to thank you so much for helping my sister, and the family thanks you for getting her back and forth to her destination. I wanted to tell the story, and I had to laugh when Wanda was talking about Pace and stuff. And one day, Pace used to leave her so much, like 5 minutes, they were gone. I stood in front of a Pace truck one day, to tell them they were not getting ready to leave my sister for dialysis. And I really meant that. And I stood there. The man told me, I'm going to call the police. I told him, call whoever you want to call. I am not moving. So that's some of the stuff that Wanda had when it came to her family. We would go out of our way. If one of us couldn't take her, somebody else would take her. Because there was a will, not just only for us to see her live. This was living for us as well. So I just wanted to share that. She is such a good-hearted person. She didn't, and nobody deserved anything. That's part of life. But Wanda, I wanted to let you know your family loves you. We will do anything. And with me standing in front of a PACE bus, and wouldn't let that bus leave you, look, I would do anything, and your family would do anything for you. I love you.
Love you, too. Thank you, too. Love you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sandy, for calling in. And now I had your number in here, so I know who it is. I got a name with a number. We have another caller that's on this morning. Good morning. Good to have you. Did you get a chance to hear the story this morning? Good morning.
For a moment.
There you go. Can you hear me?
She can.
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
You said Diane.
Oh, no. I didn't call your name. I said good morning.
Oh, okay. Glory be to God. This is Wanda Rucker's best friend, Latanja. We have... First of all, Wanda, I thank you for being my support because me and her have been through so much. You know, I'm a cancer survivor. I'm legally blind. I was burned from the neck down. I done lost four of my kids, and now they tell me that I got cancer on the brain and the lungs. But glory be to God, you know what I'm saying, because I pray without ceasing, and I'm very persistent.
Yes.
You know, my story is so, it's like, I needed to let the world know that God is able. You know, every year I call her on her birthday and I sing to her. We both have been each other's support and encouragement. She did my wedding for me, and at that time she done it. That was the day they told about her leg and she couldn't come. And I was so hurt that she went through all that work and she couldn't come. But God had a better plan for her. Like right now, I'm in chemo and stuff, and I just know that God's going to help me make it. I've been in remission for breast cancer for 15 years now, so I know what God can do. Like I said, I'm legally blind. I got a rare disease called Stargardt's, where it's like 1 in every 10,000. You know, it's no cure, you know, but they do have a camera that's out now to make your eyes look bigger, you know, but it's just so expensive I can't afford it, you know. But Wanda sees me through.
God
sees me through every day. Yes, and we know that, you know. Like I said, me and her have been through everything. I'm director of a kids' choir. At least I was when I stayed in Springfield. I mean, I'm a gospel singer. I'm a prayer warrior. So I know what God can do. I just want to thank you, Wanda. I want to thank you, Wanda. Having me to call in to at least get a little bit of my story out and let the world know ain't nothing wrong with organ donors. My 14-year-old son fell off the back of his school bus and dad, and he saved 6 people's lives, you know, with his organs, his lungs, and everything.
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tanya.
That's the type of information we need to know. Yes, yes.
Right.
Thank
you
for taking time out of your schedule to call in.
Yes, and I just want to tell Wanda, once again, I love her, and may God bless you all, because what God, like your mother said, what the devil made for evil, God is making for good. This is the first time I ever been able to share my story, and I'm glad it got out there because it can help somebody. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad you called in. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Wanda's best friend. I truly believe it because, you know, it just greatness stays with greatness. And so the one powerful story is going to be magnified by another, and it just continues to move forward. Thank you for calling in so very much. We have another caller. Lines just lit up today, so thankful for that. Let's go to this caller. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me on the caller? Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yes, there you are. Good morning. How are you? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you now. Good morning.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Yes.
My name is Barbara.
Welcome, Barbara.
I am Wanda Rucker's older cousin.
Praise God.
Wanda Rucker is my baby cousin. Wanda Rucker means love, life, and gift.
Mm.
This family would take nothing for Wanda Rucker. I want to say to my baby cousin, I love you so much, Wanda. And I thank God every day that he gave us you. You are our gift. We cherish that gift. We love you. We are here for you. And we just want you to keep on being the baby cousin, the friend, the relative, the mother, everything that you have been to this family, because you are fantastic among us. And we change nothing about you. Nothing about our baby cousin, Wanda Rucker.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so very much for calling in. It's good to hear your voice and to hear the impact that she has so very much. We have a few more callers. I want to make sure they get a chance to speak. Good morning. Here we go. There you go now. Good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Yes, there you are. Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. Speaking
great. I finally got through. My name is Shakantala Rucker. I'm Wanda's youngest sister, and I just want to congratulate her and Mike for working together and making things happen within a community, showing they love through helping and caring for one another and also caring for the community. Mike, such a great example of love and care. This is what the word teaches us to do, be a servant to others. Mike has proven that throughout the community and especially with our family. Wanda has evolved, and we thank God for her. We thank God for her journey. You know, it's not easy, and being as a family, we all shared in that process that she had to go through. But through it all, she has made it work. She did not tell everyone that she has a business called Anointing Hands, which she has been very busy creating flowers, creating events for different events, was it church events, prom, graduation, and just ordinary birthdays, and people just wanting her flowers. So I just wanted to throw that out there. She has said everything about my mom, and it's so much more. My sister, she has taught. But I just wanted to make sure that people also know that she is an entrepreneur. And I want to tell her, well, she knows I love her. She knows all of that. And I just wanted to tell her that keep going. Don't ever stop. I push, and I push hard. And she would tell you that. So don't ever stop. Mike, you are a blessing. Thank you for coming. You came into her life, but you actually came into our life too, because she told you the story, what we were going through with our mom. So you were an extra help for us. God sent you to help not only her, but you were helping us as well. So, again, thank you both, and I love you both. All right. That's it. I got through.
Appreciate you calling. I don't have anybody's names next to the phone number, so that's why I don't know up front. And I want to call anybody by the wrong name.
That's okay.
So that's why I asked you to identify yourself. But when I heard the voice, I know who you are. And it's good to see you.
Thank you so very much.
Appreciate you. Love you too. All right. We have a few more callers that's calling in.
Hello.
Is it possible
that you can hear me? Hello?
Yes,
hello?
I can hear you. Hello?
Okay. My name is Diana Graham. Can
good
you
morning,
hear me?
Diana. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I'm
I'm Latanya's mother, the young lady that spoke about her cancer and her long journey with being blind, and I'm her mother.
Yes.
At 80 okay. years old, I'm proud to listen to the story that Wanda and my daughter shared. They've been friends ever since high school. I just love people that never give up, you know. And by her being needed a kidney. I'm a kidney donor. I donated my whole, you know, body. Because I'm from a family that suffered with diabetes. My mom died of diabetes and heart failure. Her mother had her leg amputated and died of diabetes. And we just, right now, I have diabetes at 80. But I encourage the story that she told, you never give up. And that's what I do every day in the city of Chicago. I'm an activist for seniors. And I preach on the... like your mom said, spoke about, we as black people, we never consider that, how important it is to save someone else's life.
That's right.
It's so important. Just one donation. My son had died at 28 years old, my baby son, and he had a kidney problem also. So I decided to be a donor, to sign up to be a donor, and I just wanted to say today, I encourage everyone, if that's what you need to do to save a life, then let's do it. Come on. Let's do it. Wanda, I'm proud of your story. I'm glad my daughter was able to get out there and share her story to the world. And we just have to pray for each other. That's all I say. Each one of us every day need to get up and pray for each other.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
Yes,
Mom.
Ma'am.
Thank you.
Appreciate you so much for calling in and sharing your story.
And I love the program. I'll be listening to it from now on.
Thank you. Yes, thank you so very much. All right. Let's see. We got more. I want to get to a few others before we get to the next segment. Hold on 1 second. Here we go here. All right. Good morning. How are you? Good morning. Can you hear me? Good morning. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello. How are you?
Oh, good morning. I didn't know you were speaking to me.
Yes.
All right. Michael Webb. I'm Latanya's husband. I'm the one to call in, you know, and I want to just say to her that I love her and she went through this journey and he's going to come out okay. And Wanda, since I've been knowing you and just heard about you, my wife always talk about you and what you've done for us. I appreciate all of that. Even though you was going through what you was going through, you reached out and made sure that we was taken care of. And that take a strong person to come on, do the things that you do and the stuff that I hear that you do, not just for us. It's amazing. So God's going to keep you here because he has a lot of work for you to do. And I appreciate you and thank you again.
Thank you, Mike.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, thank you for calling in. Appreciate you so very much. Let's get to the next caller. Good morning. Hold on 1 second.
Good morning. How are you?
Jet. Doing well. How are you today?
I am doing well. This is Pastor Whitfield from New Life Holiness Church. And
how are you, Pastor Whitfield?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Blessed, man. Blessed. Glad to have you with us this morning.
I am blessed and glad to be able to call in and share. I just would like to say to Wanda that I am so very proud of her. Hey Wanda, I have been with her along this journey that she's been on, and I say it's a journey because it's leading her to a specific destination. And I have always encouraged Wanda that what she was going through was not for her. of course, she had the experience. She had the physical and the emotional and the mental aspect. But my words to Wanda is always, Wanda, you got to stay strong because none of this is for you. That she was just a vessel that God was using. So she can be an example to somebody else of how they can get through it. And when I tell you, man, that she has done just that, she has been a support and a motivation. We actually have a couple of people within our ministry that is going through similar processes that Wanda had to go through. And she continues to uplift them and to encourage them and to be an arm of support for her. And she is a living example of that when you stay strong, even when it gets difficult, when you stay strong and you trust God. You know, the old church has a saying that, you know, when you put your hand in God's hand, he'll lead you along the way. And Wanda, I am so proud of you because you have done just that. And you have been such an encouragement and an example of how to persevere, not just for the church community, but for your family and for your friends and for your community. And so I had to make sure that I called in this morning to say to you that I love you, we love you, and we are so very proud of you. Mike, you all continue to do the work that you're doing, man. To God be the glory. We appreciate you all so much.
Thank you, Pastor.
Sometimes we're gonna have to get together and break bread and just talk a little bit about how we can work in this community, man.
And man, I would love to because there is a lot of work that needs to be done. I was listening to a couple of the earlier callers, and I concur that it is so important that we, as a people in our community, we become more conscious of our health. You know, a lot of times we kind of jump on it once everything is already up the road and we're already right in the middle of situations. But I think that it is important that we start being more conscious and more aware, not just of our physical health, but of our mental health as well. And that we start to do a better job of not just taking care of ourselves, but of encouraging generations and those youth that's coming behind us, we encourage them, hey, go to the doctor, get checked out, get your physicals, stop eating a lot of that stuff that we know isn't good for us, right? Get some exercise, not just exercise your body, but exercise your mind, because it is important that we begin to break some cycles of what's been going on in our community. So I appreciate you all for allowing me to call in today. God bless you all. Love you.
God bless you. Love you, Pastor.
God bless you.
Thank you so much.
All right. I think we have one more that's on here. Let's go to them. Good morning. How are you? Good morning. Can you hear me? Good morning. Can you hear me? All right, give me one more. Good morning. Can you hear me? I want to go to my cousin, Satara, that's there in Houston, H-Town. Good morning, Satara. How are you?
Good morning.
Did you get a chance to hear hear Sister Rucker this morning?
Yes. Sister Rucker, I wanted, and my voice is bad, I apologize, but I wanted to just let you know that I appreciated your story. It reminds me that I need to be content with whatever state I'm in. And, you know, regardless of how difficult I think things are, there's always someone that has greater challenges than me. And I need to be cognizant and get into gratitude for that. So I thank you for the experience and the strength and hope that you shared. I also heard joy bells in your tone. And I find that so amazing. So again, I want to thank you and to your family and your friends. the level of support that I heard is really, really uplift. I heard your older cousin call in, and I can relate as the baby cousin as well. So I just really enjoyed everything I heard. It gave me a little, you know, a little boost today, and I needed that.
Good.
So thank you so much for sharing with us today.
No problem.
Praise the Lord. Just trust God.
That's all I can tell you. Trust him through the process that you're going through. Trust God.
Wanda, I truly appreciated the fact. What'd you say, Wanda?
I said this is kind of emotional, too. Thank you, God.
This is really what we do.
I really thank
you.
This is
our therapy. This is where we come each week on and listen to one another and encourage one another. There's no discouragement on this line. We're not having it. The devil will not take over this line. This is where we're going to encourage and build more Barnabases in the community and build things up, start to work together so we can take our community back. You know, and people are calling in from all over the country. My mother's in Des Moines, Iowa. My cousin's in San Antonio. In Houston, Texas. Tito couldn't get in. He's still trying to get in. He couldn't get in from Florida. Garvin's calling in from North Carolina. So we got a lot going on. But I just want to thank you. We're going to transition to our next segment. But I'll see you on Monday, right? Did we got another ride on Monday?
Yes.
Okay. We'll see you Monday morning. Just want to thank you so very much. Keep doing what you're doing. You have been an encouragement to me. I mean, you guys talk about how much I've helped you, but you don't understand this story. And I'm one of the ones. I ain't got no problem saying, my mother kept on it. I'm one of the ones who was like, listen, no, you're not taking that. You ain't taking my fingernail. I don't know nothing about that, you know. But I've seen my cousin who passed away from pancreatic cancer donated his organs, and I think 3 or 4 lives are still living today because of that. I'm seeing other stories, et cetera. And then to have a personal story with you to actually see it happen and see it work and be able to experience it. God has done that not only for you, but he's done that for me and my faith. Because as we walking amongst these people and we're out here, you know, it lets us know that, that he has all power in everything that he does. And so, even though one portion may be shut down or the spirit may leave the body, there is still a portion of the body that can still be beneficial for others if they don't, you know, mess your body up. And so I just want to commend you because that's a lesson that you have taught me and that I'm continuing to learn. I've watched your journey. I've been here every step of the way, you know, and I see the joy and I see the you taking your life back and you're traveling again and now you're modeling. I mean, you're just showing up and showing out. And I'm just so blessed because, you know, we drive a lot of people around, but everyone don't have your story. Everyone ain't trying to continue to push and power through. And so that's why we're dealing with this segment, powering through, powering through all obstacles. And powering through life against all odds. And you are definitely an example of that, an ensample for us. The Lord has given us to be able to see that. And so once again, I want to thank you. Love you. We will see you on Monday, and we'll just continue to do what we do.
Thank you so very much, Mike. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, appreciate you so very much. Do you have any last words you want to say before we transition? Any final words you want to put out there?
Well, I just want to thank each and every one of the callers, the listeners, the encouragement, and I just thank God just giving me the opportunity to be able to touch somebody with my story. I was told this 3 years ago from my team of doctors, I have a story to tell, and I really didn't look at it like that because when you lose a limb, if you never lost a limb, you'll never know where I'm coming from. But I want to keep people
encourage, let them know they can do it. And sometimes we just have to do things in a different way, but we still can do it. And just trust God. Trust God through the process. That's it. And
I always tell people that our situation does not define us. God does. And so
yes.
That's what it is. So, all right. Thank you so much for calling. I just and thank everyone else that have called in. I hope you stay on because we're going into another segment. You may have some comments on at this point in time. But once again, I just want to thank you so very much for coming into the show. And now we want to transition over into my good friend. I want to make sure I got the right line. Hang on one second. Almost clicked it. All right. That's it. Okay. We want to welcome to the Praise God, Let's Talk About a radio show, a good friend of me. Last week we focused on public safety and correctional side of it, and we want to pick that up a little bit because of what we're seeing in society today. We want to focus some additional attention on that, and we'll be picking up going into some of the technological stuff next week. But Brother Garvin will be with us, and we're really looking forward to hearing about how some of the stuff that has benefited us has also been used as prey and predatory for others. So we have to be careful with that and put our make sure we have our mitigations in place. But I want to pick up somewhat of what we left off last week on the correctional side of humanity, public safety, and community development. And I want to introduce to our listening audience today a good friend of mine, a brother in Christ, a foot soldier, and brother, we were standing on the corner of in K-Town on the corner of Madison and Madison and Cicero at the gas station talking to brothers about life and about the Lord. And so just not afraid to get out and mix it up and foot soldier. This brother, I love him. I'm going to let him state his own background and his credentials. But let's welcome to Praise God, Let's Talk About It radio show, Rodney Alexander. Rodney, you there, my brother? Brother Rodney, are you there? Okay, he looks like he's having trouble getting in. Call dropped. So we'll try to come back in real soon. A few people are having trouble getting in. Tito was saying he was having issues as well. But there's so much going on in community today. So many things that are happening that are posing issues that we need to really be aware of. And so it's just great to know and great to also be able to witness some of the things that are going on, because we have to build a bridge. We have to build a bridge. And as I talked about last week, when I came up, you always had ads about Smokey the Bear and Officer Friendly and all these guys. They were considered help to you. But now today, man, society has turned around where people are no longer looking to them for help, but they're usually looking at them as an enemy. And we want to change that. We need to get back to a society where they're no longer enemies, but they are friends. And so, or they're here for a job God provided to help us in our time of need. And so I see that he's still trying to get on, not able to get on. Well, let's go to Brother Garvin at this point in time. I see he's on. They're in North Carolina. Brother Garvin, are you there, Doc?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I'm glad you was able to get in. Everybody having trouble getting in a little bit. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. How about you, Pastor? Good to hear your voice.
Everything's well. Everything
That's
is
good.
Everything. Trying
That's
to
wonderful.
What is this other number? Don't know who that number is. Next week we're going to be talking, we're going to let you really open up the floodgates and talk to us about some of the situations that from a technological standpoint But you write a lot of great poetry, and things that are very earthy. You know, maybe while we're still waiting on Wadney to get on, can you do you have one that may be right in front of you or right near you that you could share with us this morning?
Well, I could pull something up if you give me a moment. Obviously,
okay.
I wasn't ready, but I could find something. Is there any particular subject matter you want to address? Did you have anything in mind?
Something that deals with, you know, today's youth, or just, you know, what we're just whatever you've been doing has been wonderful. So let's just grab something and move with that.
Give me a moment to look for something.
Okay.
Just because I'm sorry, I wasn't ready. I should have thought about that. Let's see here. Let's see here.
I'll come back to you here in a hot second. Let me see if I have another. Somebody just called.
Okay.
I don't know if they called another line. Let me check on that. Hold on 1 second. Good morning.
Can you hear me? Good morning.
Ah, there you are. Okay. You're on coming on a different line.
It just said you had me on mute. Okay, so back. I just text you. Am I on the right line, or do I need to call another one?
You're on the right. This is correct. Yes, this is correct. Okay.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I've been here.
I want Brother Garvin to read this. I want him to read this poem, and then we're going to go into your.
Take
segment.
Your time, brother.
So hang on 1 second, if you
yes,
will.
Sir.
All right. I'm glad
okay.
We got connected. Yet.
All right.
All right. 1 second. All right, Brother Garvin. I'm coming back to you. Are you? Do you have one real quick?
Yeah, I have something. I wouldn't call it real quick, but it'll be done in a minute and a half.
Let's hear what you got.
Okay.
Let's segue into where we're going.
I call this one, Won't They Be Surprised. Some pastors tell others that they're condemned by a sin of deadly seven, but I surmise, with all of the lies and the drama they try to sell, when they find themselves with the Dalai Lama down in hell, and the racist pastors on TV and don't make it to heaven, they will scramble in futility to ring heaven's doorbell. Won't their hearts flutter in surprise when they're coming before God? Some preachers that have been teaching one thing to others as they hoard, while leeching on and enslaving their so-called brothers in the Lord, utterly denies them entrance inside. It will be like a cranial contusion or like radiation destabilizing atoms. Their minds will be unable to fathom, as in fusion and fission, that in their confusion and indecision, they created the illusion of division. They forgot the conclusion of God's great wisdom. And won't they be amazed when those racists realize that on aspects of person, God doesn't compromise, that while those diamonds made you all that long ago, and you used and abused those people in the Congo, that you have to answer to a God with all-seeing eyes, present all-knowing God that saw through your lies, and you ended up being held enslaved after decades of telling others how to be saved. That after meeting the Alpha and Omega, the popes and presidents weren't with the VIPs, the homeless and the beggars. Robes of those true, humble, heavenly residents were white as snow. Yet those proud leaders didn't feel so holy enough after seeing the Savior's face. And after that one view of heaven, with a last chance to count to seven before they were shown their true home in that other awful place.
Amen. If we was in a spoken word spot, folks, we'd get the snacks on going right now. Yes, sir. So I want to thank you very much, Brother Garvin. Your material is always very earthy. It's very real. It's close. It's down to the ground. It's what we're dealing with here and there and everywhere. And so, he's getting ready to come out with his own book or his own compilation. So we want to get ready for that. And I'm sure he'll talk more about it next week. But I just wanted to introduce that segment with him and just thank him so very much. Brother Garvin's working on his master's and he's got a lot of things that he's doing. But he's He not only writes poetry for all things, but he's writing spiritual poetry that, you know, like an artist. Sometimes
Sometimes it's a little terse sometimes. Sometimes the color might be a little sharp or the tension might be there. But that is what it is. It's tension and release. It's what we're feeling and what we're doing. And that's what we find. And so I just want to thank him one more again. And just know I love him so very much. Now, we finally got the connection. Thank you, Brother Garvin. We got the connection with Brother Rodney. And we'll probably bring you back on after Rodney speaks and to hear some things that he has to say. But Brother Alexander, Rodney, you there, Doc?
I am here, preacher. How are you?
Oh, man, it's good to hear your voice, man. Tito's
man,
having
always,
issues.
Always,
he's having issues trying to get in because he says his provider's having problems down there. You know, he's down there in hurricane country,
wow.
So that's what happens. But,
right.
So if he can get in, he will, but if not, but he's got through texting me again. But, Doc, it's just so good to hear you and talk with you again. We had a chance to chop it up a little bit. The other day, man, and I miss those days when we would go over to Holden's and have something to eat there for a minute or just, you know, break bread and just sit back and just talk about stuff, man. And that's what real fellowship is all about. And I just want you to know publicly, you know, you've been there for me. You know, when we was in some crisis situations,
same.
You came through, man. And I'm an elephant. I don't ever forget. You know,
listen,
that's one thing about me. I don't forget. I was taught to be loyal from where I came, you know, and my family's that way. And so just love you, man. Appreciate you. And I know the Lord moves us in all kinds of different ways or whatever else. But then he also brings us back because there's nothing but one big circle. And so today,
that's right.
I'm just excited to have you on as a guest to talk about the correctional side of public safety, humanity, you know. Tell us a little background and give us some of your credentials as to what you're doing now, and then we'll get into a few questions.
All right, preacher. Well, I'm a humbled man, and you know I love you, preacher. I love you, and the work that I've done, you greatly supported, even in my shaping as a young Christian 22 years ago. So I just want to say thank you. 21 years ago, I'm sorry, for your example of Christ and service in the community. And I just, you know, try to get in my lane and do the same things. My name is Rodney Alexander. I was added to the Lord's Church in 2001. Yeah, 2002, I'm sorry, in 2002 at the Maywood Church of Christ. And I've been on the battlefield ever since, just working to serve to improve the quality of life of others. I have been a senior parole agent with the Illinois Department of Corrections by trade for 21 years, 22 next month. Father of one son, one daughter, husband of one wife, and just a servant, and just a servant. I am an elected official out here in the Proviso Township High School area. That's Proviso East, Proviso West, and Proviso Math and Science Academy, where I've been elected to 2017, currently in my 6 year, second term as a volunteer, working to improve education for our scholars and improve thereby by improving the education, improving the community. Making sure our students have what they need, our scholars have what they need to move on into adulthood from the high school level. Community advocate, I've worked with Black Star Community PTA under the late Phil Jackson. I've mentored for almost 30 years. I've created mentoring programs for churches. We ran one at Maywood, mentoring modeling program when I was there, and I've worked for Mercy Home for Boys and Girls for about 6.5 years. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. Just left a meeting this morning with the Proviso Township Ministers Alliance. We meet monthly over here, creating jobs for the summer for students, internships and things like that, and just being community involved and taking the words off of the Bible, out of the Bible, and ingesting them, and then just living the lifestyle. It's a lifestyle to me.
Yeah. You know, I heard you say that you just got out of a meeting. Y'all talking about jobs and et cetera. How do we get that information out to the people, man?
I would definitely make sure I send it to you. We do it yearly. I think this is about we started about 2015, so this is about almost the eighth year. What we do is the ministers in the area, we raise the money and we provide internships for summer jobs for the youth, and we call it the 4x4x4. They work for 4 weeks, 4 hours, 4 days a week, 4 hours a day. And the churches pay them. So we partner with the companies in the community, the businesses, and we ask them to hire them, but we pay their salaries.
So they get volunteer
and
work.
The church
so
provides
they get an extra hand, and they get apprenticeship, you know, experience, and then also they're paid by the church. That's an excellent program, Doc.
Yeah, it's the community. It's the community doing its part. You know, we have a lot of churches in our community, and we have to give back in a real way. I mean, we know we got to keep the lights on and take care of our bills, but usually, if we can contribute holistically, some of the unemployment and some of the violence, some of the things that are going on because our students don't have anything to do over the summer, we can curtail some of that. We can curtail, and we've looked to do that. We've got over 100 kids now. That we process over the summers, and it's so powerful. Naperville, a church in Naperville, was at the meeting, and they've created one, and they've had theirs going for about 5 years. So yeah, so it's spreading, But yeah, I'll get you the information as to how you can contribute. We take donations and everything.
Yeah, definitely interested in in trying to help something that. I mean, that's a very productive program, and we're always trying to do that. You know, we started a scholarship program here at GCOC. And it's been off for a few years, but we've helped 7 go on to higher learning. And so we're back in again this year. So people apply. They got till June 25th to apply for it. And we look to have people going on to higher learning this year. So it's an important thing to be able to try to put something together, do something that you have to help somebody out. Now, if I remember right, you had military time too, didn't you, Rodney?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, man, listen, my life has been rich. Yes, I went in the military, United States Army. I'm a veteran, 5 years. I went in at 17, and I got out when I was 22. So I served in the Army infantry for 5 years. And I like to call that my post home because it was just like being at home. So I had the idea with my parents, John and Teresa Alexander. I left the house, and hey, it was nothing for me to have a sock drawer, an underwear drawer, a T-shirt drawer, a bed made, and play clothes after school. And that was the regiment. Clothes hung up in the closet the right way, all facing the same direction on the hanger right. So the military for me was just a furtherance of what I had gotten at home to prepare me for the ministry that I'm in right now.
Yeah, yeah. So looking at your career path, you say you went in when you were 17. And you're what, 27 now, or somewhere around in there?
Right, right.
we'll put a plus behind it.
I am a proud and healthy 55 years old, brother. I'm 55.
I know you're right, my brother. did you see yourself in the career that you're in today? Back when you were, 16, 17?
No. When I got out of the service at 22, I went to Chicago State. My alma mater, and my intention was to become a radiation therapy technician. Well, they canceled the program.
Okay.
They canceled the program. Okay. And so then I was going to go into the medical field, pursue a medical doctorate until I got to that class called physics. And that changed I could dissect the pig and all the hands-on stuff I was excellent at. Physics is a mostly compulsory, ideological thinking type concepts, formulas. Nah, that wasn't. I went to my counselor. I was like, give me something where I can just write reports and take tests and get on up out of here because I can't do this doctor stuff. So, yeah, I changed to that. And then corrections criminal justice is where I landed. But I never wanted to be a police officer. So I struggled with finding an occupation that would allow me to do more what I believe to be help than harm in the community.
Okay.
But that was via the United States Post Office. So when I got out of college, I went to the post office and supervised there for 6.5 years.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I supervised the post office
for 6.5 years.
So you're a parole officer or a probation officer?
Yes, I'm a senior parole agent. So I'm after the fact. Parole is after the fact, right? Probation is in lieu of prison. Parole is after prison. So after you've done your time, Illinois is a right to parole state. So you will get parole for most crimes unless you're doing life in the state of Illinois. And that's where I come into play to make sure that you make it across the finish line. You still have some time to do. And we want to get you re-acclimated back into society.
So how's the rehab process? I mean, are you finding it to be over the years as people are not looking to live longer or they don't have a focus on, we used to look for factory jobs and looking to retire and whatsoever else, but seems like today's community is not looking at that. Are you seeing that there's been a shift or a pivot change in the in your parolees?
I think now there are so many opportunities to make money nowadays as we change into this technological world. You've got Uber Eats, you got Lyft, you got Amazon that's hiring out the yin yang. And it's possible now for folks to have multiple streams of income. We know most of the factories and things like that are gone. And those are the institutions that helped actually build the black communities from the Great Migrations, at least in Chicago. You know, the factory jobs. We came from the South and got those good factory jobs and were able to stabilize communities and have businesses and things back pre civil rights, to where we made it through Jim Crow that way for the most part. But now, as technology and times have changed and we've gotten away from that, these jobs now are requiring some sense of technological knowledge as it relates to just being able to basically operate a cell phone, deal with an app. We navigate social media and stuff like that. But most of these jobs are on that level. The Uber drivers and things of that nature. There's just so many different ways for our returning citizens, I like to call them, to employ themselves gainfully. And then it's a process, because I tell them, once you've been to prison, it's like having bad credit. You've got to reestablish yourself, because now you have a record. But make no doubt about it, you can reestablish. You can definitely reestablish. It may be a little bit harder because of choices that you've made, but you can still do it. So I've seen brothers and sisters pull themselves up and provide the resources. We just have to be able to provide the resources. And I'm reminded of you guys had a prison ministry at Monroe Street back in the day, where you guys, would provide, I would work with you guys to provide those real resources and just the reality of what they need. You know, the jobs, the transportation, you know, we'll just get a job. Well, this brother is 30 years old and doesn't know his Social Security number, has a sixth grade education. What do you mean just get a job? There's a process to employing someone. And we have to be realistic and intentional about providing that process and allowing them to go through it.
Okay. You know, I looked at it and I asked this question last week, and I'm interested with your comment. And it says that, you know, I was looking at a blog post from a former prosecutor, I think it was GelmanLawFirm.com. I can't think of who the Gelman, what his name is. But it was interesting because he said the FBI reports that crime is committed every 26.3 seconds in the United States of America. I didn't know that was that's an astounding stat, you know. And then to think that's going on. So my question is this: how would you describe the mindset of people today? Because this wasn't categorized with age group at all. You know, we're really trying to focus on today's youth and trying to save someone that can stay out of the system or somebody that's in, how they can whatever else. But just the mindset. You're on the street level. What do you see the mindset today of how people get in trouble with the law and the judicial system, and what would be what advice would you give to someone that's on the edge, you know, they're being tempted or whatsoever else, and they, you know, to maybe do something, but they haven't yet. But like you said, there may be a financial issue they're trying to get taken care of. You know, what advice could you give?
Right, you're speaking to crimes of opportunity and crimes of necessity. And we I try to encourage people, Brother Peavy, to look at it holistically. We have to look at the holistic situation as to why people, and let's just deal with, because the majority of those are going to be petty crimes. So we're not talking about, you know, felony level crime. We're talking about just any and everything that can fall into what the FBI calls. They have their crimes broken down. If you go on their website, and you can see everything from burglary to assault, to murder, to theft, everything, arson. They break those crimes down. And then if you go a little bit deeper, they'll break them down by demographic, gender, race, culture, and things of that nature. But what I've seen in 21 to 22 years is survival. I've seen survival. The majority of my time has been on the west side of Chicago. I've worked as far north as Lake County, Zion, Winthrop Harbor. I've worked up there. But the majority of my time has been with us on the west side. When you go through the west side of Chicago, it's a food desert. There might be one grocery store right there on Pulaski and 290, and I cringe to think what's up inside there. So there's no grocery store there. So we have a food deficiency, a nutrition deficiency in our community. Then you go and you look for a job that will allow you to support and take care of a family on the west side. I'll wait for somebody to tell me where that business is. Where that business is, they don't exist. So when you take certain things out of the community or don't have certain things in that community for people to survive, then what do you expect? Now, we can't get a grocery store, but you can go get a gun. You can't get a decent education, but you can go get some crack or some heroin or some marijuana. Who's bringing these things into our community to facilitate the crime? Yeah. And why would you do that rather than put in there the things that are necessary for people to survive? Because these are basic things. And unfortunately, Brother PV, a lot of us don't look at it from that perspective. We think that folks know what they don't know. We think because people are a certain age and have been in situations for so long that they know how to get out of them. No, it's the exact opposite. They're in this situation because no one has come back to tell them or to help them get out of it. And you can tell somebody anything. You got to show people. You have to be an example. That means you got to roll up your sleeves, dedicate yourself to working with these people to get through this system. And it's tumultuous when folks have no hope. They've not been taught or trained, right? You spoke specifically about the youth. Children don't plant seeds. So when I look at the youth, I look at the failure of the folks that got them here. I look at the failure of the adult community that does not provide for them. Youth can't provide services for themselves. They don't provide education for themselves. They don't provide food for themselves. They don't provide economic stability for themselves. That's the responsibility of the parents and the broader community that they live in. So I don't look at it from a bottom-up perspective. Folks will say to me, what's wrong with the kids? I say, no, what's wrong with the community and the parents? Because the kids act out because of fear. They're scared. They're scared. There's no discipline. They've not been taught how to deal or cope with anger. They've not taught socialization skills or anything. So this is the result of that. We've allowed the social media and the music to get into our children's, our youth's ears and minds, and now they're going out and actually living out these video games and living out Grand Theft Auto and all of these things that they've been raised by. And I'll just say it is just my opinion. That's the failure of a generation to raise their children. That has something to do with some systemic obstacles and barriers, because we didn't just get there by ourselves. But ultimately, we know that it wasn't always this way in our community. It wasn't always this way in our community. So where did we drop the ball? We weren't raised this way. So then what happened? Did racism skip a generation? No, I don't think so. The tenets of it. No. The tenets of it got a little different, but I think to a large degree, Generation X and on bought into it, hook, line, and sinker, and we dropped the ball on the generation. So now we have to try to repair. Now we have to try to repair the problem.
All right, we got some people, some numbers on. Let's see who I have. They may have some questions, or at least some comments as to what's going on. A lot of folks have folks in the system. I got cousins and brothers and et cetera in the system. But let me see who this number is first, and we'll start there. Okay. And I want to run to my mother. I know my wife probably got some. Good morning. Hello. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Mike?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me? Well, this is Wanda. Okay, Wanda, you have any comments for Rodney in regards to how, you know, because you're living right there on the west side of Chicago, right in the heat of it, and what are you seeing on your block, and any questions you may have for Rodney?
Well, I want to thank him for speaking on that. And what I see outside my door, I have a very my block is very busy with youth from ages, I can say 12 and up. the gang banging, the selling drugs, it's this and that. It's no love. It's no home love like it used to be. Meaning like back in the days, things that we couldn't do, they do it now. We need in our community more research for these youth, more things for them to do instead of standing on a corner or selling drugs, doing whatever they're doing. The violent, we just lost a young man on our block 2 weeks ago. Sitting, you know, I'm in my house and heard over 32 rounds of bullets. And this is about 8 or 9 o'clock, dark outside. And a young man was shot to death like 4 houses down from my house. It's just that if we bring back what we was taught back in the days, I think the community would be a better place. We used to go to Sears Rhyme CA and go skating. We used to be able to go to the park to do field houses and do different things. I just think we got a lack of no research in our community and no responsibility from my dear and grandmom, because everybody wants to be on the same level now. And that's why I think our youth is running rapid. It's out of control. They don't have the home training.
Yeah. Now, Brother Phoebe, I got a question for my sister, because I agree with her 100%. But can I ask her a question?
Yeah,
please.
Who's responsible for that?
The parents.
Okay. So what we're saying then, if I'm hearing you correctly, we're saying that we are our own facilitators of the situation we find ourselves in.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Exactly. The truth shall set
that's
them
so
free.
True.
Yes. Yeah.
That is so true. It's charity starts at home. And that's the way I look at it. I don't think our kids to be the way they are if they had some type of structure in a home.
Now, I agree with you 100%. We know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I agree with you. If you don't mind me asking, so I don't want to put your address out publicly, but what zip code are you in on the west side?
60624.
Okay, that's my area. So I am in your area every day. You can feel free. As a matter of fact, I don't mind. If you want to take my number, I will put my number out here for anybody that's listening, and you can feel free to call me. That's my area. I work K-Town, 60624, so I'm over there every day, Sunday through Thursday. My number is 708.
Hold on. Let me get your number. Let me get a pen. Okay. Because, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And anybody can have it, yeah.
The things that I see and hear, you know, they got this code that they do when the police come through, lock it, all's well. You know, they're constantly saying that all day, every day. I am
right.
A homeowner.
Right.
I can't even sit on my front porch because, you know, the activities that's going on my block.
See?
And I pay taxes. I can't even enjoy my front porch. You know?
See? Yeah, and that's a shame. And that's a shame.
But,
now,
but,
Brother Phoebe, watch this next. You ready for the number, ma'am?
Yes.
Let me know. Okay, 708.
Mm-hmm.
263-7847. And that's Rodney Alexander, common spelling, Rodney Alexander. Yeah, you can call me anytime, but I'm over there, and I can come by and take a look and see if any of my guys are out there as a part of that situation, and then we can work to probably try to get some things going over there for you so you can sit on your porch this summer.
That'd be great. You say 708-236.
263. Right.
Yes,
ma'am.
7847.
Yes, ma'am.
And when is the best time to call you, Mr. Alexander?
Anytime. Text me and let me know who you are. Yeah, text me and let me know who you are, and I'll call you right back. The only time you won't reach me is if I'm in a meeting or sleep.
Okay. Yeah. It's a lack of It's the lack of resource in the community. And like I say, it's
exactly.
all ages. It's all ages. I did state that when the young man got shot on the block 2 weeks ago, a bullet went right next door into my nephew's house. Gladly his wife had to remove it from the front. I think I shared
right.
that with Mike, too. And the bullet went straight
yeah.
through his house. And I showed Mike the bullet, but the shape had been through. So it's and this is at the time when these babies should be at home. Somebody should be monitoring these kids. But the
well, yeah.
street got them, so.
Mm-hmm. Now, Brother Peavy, can I ask one more question?
Yeah.
One more question for you, sister. How close is the nearest church to you?
Well, I'm on Lexington Central Park. The nearest close to me church is near St. Louis and Flournoy, and then it's one right here on Harrison. And St. Louis, and then we go back towards Pulaski. It's one right there on Pulaski and Fifth Avenue. So, and then I'm right off Roosevelt, where it's up and down the block of Roosevelt. That's nothing but churches. So, and
yeah.
we got the big square. So, we surrounded by churches. But what can we do?
Here's the question now. Here's the question, PB. You may know where I'm going with this. We got more churches in the black community than any other culture in this country.
Correct.
So we
mm-hmm.
effectively tell folks, this is what we say to people as black folks. We say we got so much Jesus in our community, we'd rather have Jesus than food. We'd rather have Jesus than peace and safety.
Yeah.
Because the Bible that I read, the word that I read is a living word, and it produces something. So we have to ask
Amen.
Ourselves, sister, how can we have so many churches, which is a representation on this time side of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and our communities look the way they do?
Yes.
We got
that,
to ask that question.
We have to begin to
hold these churches accountable for, they're the one, the church is supposed to teach a man how to love his wife, a wife how to love her husband and her children. The system, the community, where is that going to come from? If the church is that, how can they hear without a preacher? So we have to look at how we've taken religion, not the word of God, but this institution called religion, and allowed it to become the biggest purveyor of our oppression. And we just have to be honest with that. And I'm not talking about no denomination. I'm not talking about no divisiveness. I'm talking about real life.
Yeah.
There should not be bullets anywhere there's a church. That's antithetical. That's like the devil and Jesus sitting down to have a meal together. That's like God being able to look at sin or stomach sin. We are playing with the Lord. We are playing with the Lord come tomorrow morning. And the results are all around us. It's obvious.
Oh, right.
That something, we're not doing something right in our communities, and we need to constantly work while the blood is warm in our veins to do everything we can to try to fix that, because it's fixable. Nobody's coming. This country and this system eats off of the oppression of groups that refuse, not are not capable, not don't have the information and knowledge to do for themselves. We have to, like you said, if there are children out here with guns, whose children are they? There need to be some men to go get that young man in love. In love. There should be deacons on the block in love. But you got a church house right here on the corner that don't even know the neighbors on the block that they serve. And when I read my Bible, Paul says to the church at Corinth, and he went to Corinth and dealt with those people, to the church at Ephesus. And he went to Ephesus and dealt with. See, so Paul went and lived amongst the people and dealt with the people. I promise you, now you know where those churches are. You probably don't know who the preachers are for. And they're in our community every week and bear no spiritual responsibility for the behaviors, the morals, and values or lack thereof in our community. We have to fix that ourselves. We have to – nobody's going to come. We have to be out here getting block clubs together, forming coalitions, working with the police, working with these agencies, working with our elected officials to deliver the products and the things and the resources that we need in our community. It's an active lifestyle. Christianity, following Christ, it's an active lifestyle. You have to do some things other than the event of Sunday morning.
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, we're going to get there, sister. Keep the faith. We're going to get there. We're going to get there.
And it's an elephant, but we've got to keep chipping away at it. We've got to keep chipping away at it. And,
yes.
And we got to stand up and say, listen, you know, some things got to change.
Mm-hmm.
Things have got to change, and men's got to stand out, and you're going to have to talk to these brothers on the corners, you know, in the middle of the block, and, you know, and find out what's going on so we can change. Because if you get the buy-in on the change, you won't have the problem. But the problem is that such
That's
a
right.
disconnect that there's an issue. You know, and then along with what you said in regards to survival, not having what they need, that is the motivator that has them doing a
yes.
lot of stuff that they do. Because they still got, you know, once you get two or three babies, you got Pampers to buy. You've got things you got to get
right.
done, you know. Whether we agree with why they did it, they still trying to be responsible somewhat, even they may not, you know,
right.
may not be the correct way to do it. I mean, I've talked to them, and I've been, when I would go to visit somebody at the court or had to go speak for somebody at the court or be with them, I've run into somebody, and they're like, Pastor, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, man, what are you doing down here? And they said, man, I'm doing better
right.
whatsoever else. Got in trouble doing this. And the whole thing was, man, there was no job. This is some years now. There's no jobs, and I got to do this and for that. Man, we got to figure this
yeah.
out. We got to figure if we can get you a job, will that change what you're doing? And
mm-hmm.
the answer was, you know, more than likely it would help me because it's better than what I'm doing now. You know, that quick
yeah.
money is
yeah.
one thing, but there's no longevity
right.
in it. You know, they want to be.
Right.
There are a lot of people that want to be responsible citizens, but they just can't ask.
Yes.
They don't seem to be able to break the mold. And so I agree with that. Now, everybody, you can't say it that way. But there are some out
That's
there.
That's not
and
everybody, right.
we're looking to go get
yeah.
to make a difference. Yeah.
And Brother P, let me tell you that. That's the majority of them. The majority, when people think of parole in prison, they automatically run to the worst of the murder. I'd say 75 to 80% of my caseload is nonviolent drug offenders.
Yeah.
Nonviolent
yeah.
drug offenders.
Yeah.
Now you're seeing a lot of mental health issues because
yeah.
one of the former mayors shut down the mental health facility, so the society is not being provided what it needs to deal with its ills, and so those ills
right.
are going to act themselves out and impact us in a negative way when we don't provide the necessities for life. And peace, then we get violence and destruction. It's not hard. It's not hard. So we look at it systemically. We know we provide all of these different services and things. You got people on the west side that don't even know that there's help for job places. They don't even know where the new Amazon facility is and that they can go apply or that they can get jobs even with a felony conviction with CTA. They don't know the information. And I have a caseload of so many that we try to give it to, but what if on Sunday every church on the west side announced that to its people? What if a sister had resources where she could go out there and at least say, listen, young man, here's some lemonade. Take this. Call this brother. He may be able to get you out of here. And I'm not saying that y'all need to do anything for me. I'm an older sister. But what if she had the confidence of knowing I got some resources for my people and I can go out here and at
yeah.
least give it to them? Now, you can't make nobody do nothing. That's where we come in as a community, and that's why I give out my number. I have those resources. So I have to be able to come in and provide those resources. Now, we can lead them to water. I'm not responding. I can't save nobody. I can't save you. I can help you or give you the gospel message to save your soul so the Lord can save you. But I don't focus on the results. That's in the Lord's hand. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Only they can change people. I'm just the boy. I'm just a seed planter. I'm just trying to till the soil a little bit and plant some seeds in love. And it's the love of Christ that sustains me. It's the love of the Holy Spirit that works through me. I just love the Lord and love my people and want to spend my life making this world a better place for my son and daughter and everybody else. Because that's what Jesus
yes, sir.
Did for us. That's what he did for us. That's what the apostles did for us. So that's the example. Everything's rooted and founded in love. and you really want godly people. You really want people that love the Lord more than themselves and aren't out for gain and things of that nature. No, you want people that are going to do the work, as the Bible says, because it's the right thing to do. And you can change community and love. We sure can, but we need resources. Everybody can't talk to them knuckleheads on the block. No, that might not be your ministry. I'm not going to tell nobody to ever go out there and approach these guys. You don't know what they're on. You don't even know if they may not even live on the block. 9 times out of 10, they don't. They just found some spot to set up there. So they're not your neighbors. You don't know their people. You don't. So it can be very dangerous. We got to have some sense with this. But the Lord has put me on the battlefield for 21, 22 years next month and kept me safe. So I tend to believe that I'm walking in my ministry.
Amen. Amen. Right. You touched on something, man. You touched on something. I see Tito's getting in now. So he's been able to hear you. He's just trying to figure out how he can get in to talk. So I'm going to get to him in a second.
But okay, good.
You touched on something that I really want to tap into, and then I'm gonna get a chance to get everybody on here. But man, this is stuff we need to be trying to get information out. Can you explain the realities of a criminal conviction, how they has long term effects on that person's life and maybe for the rest of their life? And you talked about the fact of limiting career opportunities, loss of citizenship, the inability or ineligibility of student loans, difficulty getting credit. I mean, the things that become mountains to them. That may be an issue, and you're saying that there are resources that can break through these things, and this is the information we need to get out.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit more?
I definitely will, and we'll go all the way back to the 13th Amendment with it. The 13th Amendment of the Constitution says, slavery shall be abolished in these United States except for those convicted of a crime. So between 1865 and 1875, we had what's called Reconstruction. Within a 10-year period after emancipation, black folks moved incredibly. In 1875, I believe it was a Hayes Compromise, where they gave the presidency to this guy named Hayes, North Carolina did, in exchange for them pulling the troops out of the South. And when they pulled the troops out of the South, this is after Lincoln is gone, in comes Jim Crow. And they used the constitutional amendment of the 13th to criminalize black folks. You could go to prison and become, it was a felony to not have a job. So you trace that all the way up to now, and then you see how, except for some progressive legislation that has changed some things, like in Illinois, at least in Chicago, you can't ask whether someone's convicted of a crime or not for a job. Now, of course, that's relative to what type of job you're trying to get, because some jobs require a background check, and they're just going to see it. But on that application, you can't ask. You'll find now that more jobs are out here and available. CTA will hire you if you don't have a violent conviction. So I've had parolees go through the process, go through the training, and now they are making decent money and decent incomes, will retire with felony convictions and have been to prison, some of them multiple times. Those resources are out there. Amazon will hire you. UPS will hire you. The post office under certain situations. So there are jobs out here that will hire you, but we got to train the people and get them ready for it. The conviction is definitely an obstacle, though, because there's a mindset that comes with it. A lot of people don't know what I just said. So it's about just getting the people the information. It's not hard. We have expungement seminars. There are a few churches that have expungement seminars. Well, they have people come in from Springfield and from City Hall and teach these young women and young men, some of them older, how to expunge their records. There are certain crimes in Illinois that you can have taken off of your record, which gives you another opportunity. So when we make certain choices, like I said initially, when you have bad credit, there's some things you can do to rebuild it. Well, it's the same thing. When your credit history as it relates to your choices in life are bad, you can turn that around given the information and the knowledge to do so. But if we don't prepare or provide that knowledge for these people, then we can't complain about what they, how can they hear without a preacher? So if we don't go and give them the message of Jesus, the message of life, the message of morals and values and discipline, then we can't expect anything else. But yeah, there is a definite scar. And there is a definite, not to mention, you know, for black folks, our skin alone, that's our first impediment in this society. And I think a few of us, we've gotten so conditioned because of the constant onslaught to just live this way. A lot of us don't believe that we can get those brothers off that sister's block. I'm telling you, we can.
Yeah, and that's
I'm telling you,
that's
we can.
We don't
I know
we can
for a fact
it,
we
but
can.
I believe we can.
PB, you and I have done it. We know what the Lord
can
do.
Man, I know it. I know
we've
it.
Seen, we've
I know
seen
it,
the
man.
Lord
and,
work.
This ain't no
spook in the sky type of thing. The Spirit will move if you go and do what the Lord told you to do. The Spirit will move. But we got to be brave enough to just go in our lanes with some common sense. No, you ain't about to just go play with these brothers. Slow down. They not hearing that. Okay, so we got to go and meet them where they are. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, I became all things to all men that I might do what? Win some.
Win some.
Win some. 1 Corinthians 9, I'm sorry. Paul wasn't trying to save any, you know, he was just trying to meet the people where they were. We got to go down there. I can't expect the people to come up here with my 5 years, military, college, fraternity, elected officials, the knowledge and all of this stuff. They not going to understand if I just go preaching to them. I got to go listen. And do more listening. Do more listening. And then be able to look these brothers in the eye so that they can see the spirit. They can feel the spirit of the Holy Spirit coming through me. It ain't Rodney doing nothing. It's the spirit. Yeah. It's he that's in me. It ain't me doing a doggone thing. I'm nothing to them other than an obstacle, especially with a badge on. But I tell you what, I live on the west side. I can go anywhere on the west side, walk up any another street, smile, speak to my people, and be safe. And when I lived in K-Town, I lived there, kept the top and doors off my Jeep, had a parolee on my caseload, lived in the house right next door to me, and lived with my people. See, and the Lord protects you because he puts you there for a reason. There's a reason why I'm in 60624 and that sister called and she in 60624. There's a reason for this phone call this morning. We're going to help some people. Mm-hmm. We're going to help some people.
Yeah. I lived in K-Town for 18 years. So you're absolutely right. You got to see what's going on. And you have to be up in there. I found out that they will look out for you as long as you don't cross over to that mess. They'll look out for you.
Come on now.
You know.
That's right.
And they will.
And they will return that love and that respect. See, when men talk, boys sit down.
When men talk,
boys listen. But see, you got to know how to talk to these young men that have never had a man in their life. See, they're sensitive. They're emotional. They've never seen how men, real men, deal with confusion, deal with disagreement. They've never seen that. So now you have to show them. You have to model that to them. You have to be patient. You have to be kind. But then you got to know when to react and when possibly to go that other side, too. And you have to be prepared for both. But you come in peace. You know, see me, PB. We come in peace. I love you, my brother, but I'm going home. I'm not going to allow your foolishness to stop me from getting to my family now. The Lord ain't told me to die for no foolishness out here. So I'm well-trained and equipped to deal with it either way you want to do it. But I'm coming in love, I'm coming in humility, and I'm coming with resources to help you better your life. Now, you have to just not want anything. The majority of my parolees that I've had in my 21 years have wanted better and have gone on to do better for themselves. It may take a couple of hours. Listen, I don't determine when it's watered or nourished. I just plant the seeds. I may not be the one to water and nourish you. I just plant the seed.
Yeah.
I may get you to the water fountain and you ain't thirsty no more. Okay, well, at least you know how to get to the water fountain now. So when you are thirsty, there's the water fountain.
Let me get a few in, Rodney. Man, we can talk about this all day.
You know, we can.
I want to.
Yes, sir.
Tito, is that you? Is that you in 708? Good morning. Who's 708-904? Good morning.
That's me, Pastor Mike. I was just tuning in.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Oh, Nate, what's going on, my brother? I don't have any names on this here, so I'm having to go with. How you feel this morning?
I feel pretty good. You know, I dialed this morning, so I'm a little down, low, tired wise, but I'm okay.
Okay. You heard Brother Rodney, and I'm sure I don't know if you got a chance to hear Sister Wanda a little earlier. Dallas is survivor.
No,
well,
I didn't get to hear her earlier.
Okay. Well,
but
make
I
sure
heard
you
him
get
and everything
earlier.
He's saying is true.
You heard him had experience here on the west side and et cetera. Have you got any comments?
I grew up in K-Town. I was born and raised in K-Town on the west side.
Right.
And that's why I say everything he's saying is true. And I agree with. And having experience and, you know, having family in law enforcement and knowing that everybody that's out there, they don't recognize and understand how men deal with things. And it has to be done in a certain way. He's 100% correct in that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brother Nate. Yeah, that's born out of the experience. And But listen, we've got the roadmap. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. There have been plenty of
right.
brothers and sisters that have shown us what we need to do and that has sustained us and moved us to the next level. So I tell folks, you just got to want to do it because the information is out here. We live in a world right now. Talking to Brother Tito the other day, I said, if Paul had the internet, imagine if Paul had the internet and social media, and he was able to do what he was able to do on a camel and a ship. Imagine if he had the internet and a car and a plane. We've been blessed with all of these avenues to improve our lives, and some of us, not everyone, because I believe the Holy Spirit is winning. The gates of hell shall not prevail. But we have to do more to make sure that the least of these, not one soul, the Lord would have it that not one soul should perish. So every soul is valuable to God. Every person has value to the Lord and were produced and put on this earth for a purpose. And that purpose was not to fill the prison. That purpose was not to hurt another human being. That purpose was not to live in sin. Now, we have choice at the end
That's
of the
right.
day. We have choice, but at the end of the day, my choice is to serve the Lord and to gird myself with the knowledge, first of his word, and then those brothers and sisters that have prepared you, your Marcus Garveys, your Dr. Carter G. Woodsons, your W.E.B. Du Boises, your Booker T. Washingtons, your A. Philip Randolphs, all of these giants that have provided and created the blueprint for us to be successful, your Dr. Claude Andersons, you know, your Boyce Watkins, all of these brothers with all of this knowledge as to how we need to lift ourselves as a community out of these situations. But we got to roll up our sleeves. It's work. It's not something you can just go for 2 hours one day a week and feel some kind of way about. This is a 7 day a week, you know, 4 to 5 weeks a month, 365 days a year job. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle, but it is a joyful burden. It is a joyful burden because the fruits of it is peace and tranquility and better living conditions. And as we get older, that's what we want. We want peace. We want peace in our communities. We want to be out when it gets warm to sit outside like we used to on the porch and the guys would move around. They wouldn't even step on your grass. We were taught not to step on our neighbor's grass. These were principles and values taught. Right, where's the teaching stop? Where's the teaching stop?
Yeah. Brother Garvin, you're there? Yeah, I know you hear some good stuff here, man. You know, you was in Chicago and now you're in North Carolina. What you got to add?
Well, I did spend some time living on the West Side, and I remember that it was a constant battle to keep the kids from breaking my steering column. It was a constant problem, you know, I got a good line put on my system. I mean, a good system put on my car, and then finally, when they couldn't do much with the car, they ended up stealing the glass right out of the side.
Yeah, I remember that. Took the windshield right out.
I mean, it was just so upsetting, and I just left. I mean, I feel kind of ashamed for not trying to do something about it. I was just so frustrated and angry that, you know, I was so frustrated and angry that I was going to go get a weapon and do something about it, or I was going to leave, and I just decided.
Yeah. Listen, don't feel ashamed. They'll take you. We can take each other there. We can take each other there. Like I said, the work, we all have different ministries, and we all have different callings. I just tell folks to always pray. It may not be your job to do nothing. It may not be my ministry is unique to me. There may be some other brothers doing it, sisters doing it, but the Lord gave me a ministry, and how I do that ministry is unique. There's only one Rodney Alexander on the face of this earth. So we don't ever need to feel bad. We need to figure out what we can do. I heard you with that wonderful poem and stuff. So you're going to reach some people in
Thank
a different
you.
Way. We have to look at everything in a positive. Everybody can't live in the hood. Everybody cannot live there. Everybody can't. I had to move from over in K-Town because my young son was getting older, and my wife was like, either we go or we going. And you can stay here because I'm not going to raise him over here. So I work over there. The Lord told me, take your family to safety, but you can come over here and work your ministry, right? But you don't have to sacrifice your son. You don't have to sacrifice your family for that. So, yeah, those are real situations. And I want to leave this message, Brother Peter, with folks. Don't feel bad when you're angry at ignorance and Negroes. You're supposed to feel some kind of way. You're supposed to be upset with that. I'm just saying that we have to be constantly seeking out resources and ways to change. If you can't move, then we must improve. Now, if you can move, then that's not your side to do it. Then you move and you support it from as far where you can, where you're safe. But if you can't move, then we must improve. We must improve because nobody that's paying taxes and living someplace and paying rent or anything, a mortgage, should be forced to live under circumstances where knuckleheads that don't own nothing on the block are taking it over. That, no, that don't have to happen. And we've done some things. We cleaned up some blocks on the west side. We sure have. We cleaned up some blocks on the west side. Yes, we have.
Marie, you're on here. You live with me on over there. Come on, you normally been. Come on, I know you got some comments as to how the life changed for you from where you were to where it's at. Come on, this is my wife. Come on,
Jay. Well, my upbringing on the west side, basically because of who my mom was. You know, my mother was Nancy B. Jefferson, so her motto was making the west side the best side. She was a activist, so we as family were behind her. That same token, mm-hmm. Brother Rodney, I heard you say many things that I said when you said plant to see, when you said, when you talked about the man who was 30 years old who does not know his social security number, when you talk about those things, and I see, and in my life today, wherever I go, it's because, like you indicated, when you have God rooted in you, you're trying to help as much as you can. But my thing is this. When you see that young man who's 30 years old who does not have the Social Security number and who may be mentally, how do you help that individual without, do I have to be certified? I know I have my lawyer with me, but I want to help, but I don't want to do the wrong thing. So what way would you suggest that I do? Because I meet people daily who are homeless, who are in need of help. And you can't turn your back on that, not when you have God inside you. You just cannot. So I just want to say to you, ask you, what is it? How do you plant that seed? How do you help? How do you make as you said, our generations, we dropped the ball somewhere along the way. We stopped teaching our kids Madeiras, and we stopped having Madeiras. Everything changed rapidly. And so the outcome that we have is because of what we did, but we got to stop pointing the finger at them and look at what we have done. And now that we understand that, yes, this is my fault. Now, how can I correct this? What can I do to see what how we have generational, what do you call it, whatever we did, now that we see that before us, now we see the homeless, now we see the man. My mother always said, my family name is Reese. Reese, when you see the black man on a cane, when you see all of that, that's our community going down. She said, because they are our strength. But now look at what we're dealing with. And so that's the stuff that when you see that, you say, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to do? How do I help? So help me just, like, in the moment's time when I see it. I mean, I don't want to just give, Dunkin' Donuts coupons, money every day. I want to do more than that. So what can I do?
Listen, sister, this is what we do. And I'm going to lay it out for you. And this is straight Bible. Paul told Timothy to study. We got to get, first of all, in this word and let this word minister to us. You got to read from Genesis to Revelation. And you've got to let this word minister to you. Because the answer is in the spirit. The God gave gifts to each and every one of us. But a lot of times we wrestle or struggle with understanding what our gift is. We may or may not be spending enough time in the word. Once that becomes a part of your lifestyle and that's who you are to where it starts to just ooze out of you, now you're ready to go out there and do what you need to do. So now you got to start reading some psychology books. You got to start reading some social books. You got to know what Brother Bobby E. Wright from the west side of Chicago purported and talked about and supported. You got to know these things. And then you get you some resources. So now you find out what's in the community for you that you can use to give to these people. Where are the shelters for the homeless? Where are the resources for those that have drug addiction? Where are these things at? What agencies on the west side do we have? And you have those numbers and stuff in your phone. And you have those numbers and stuff in your phone, bro. And so now you're equipped when you run across these people. Well, listen, there's a food shelter here. There's some clothing here. all of these resources we must have in our toolbox to be able to provide for our people. This place is hiring. This place is hiring. Depending on how far down the rabbit hole you want to go, you got to get political. You got to know who the alderman is. You got to know who the police chief is. You got to go to CAPS meetings. You got to participate. And in these congregations and in these churches, if there's someone that is inclined to do that work, there's more than one person trying to do everything. So now guess what? I can call Sister Marie. I can call Brother Peavy. Brother Peavy used to call me for certain things. It was a resource that we had. I could call him for certain things on the west side. So we develop a network of support.
Yes, sir.
But I would say everything is founded in that word. And I'm going to say this last thing, Brother Peavy, and I don't mean any offense to anybody. We have to understand the difference between the religion and the church.
Amen.
We have to understand the difference between religion and the church. The church is a spiritual place. Religion is the building that we go to participate in a process to show our appreciation and love to God. Nothing wrong with it until it becomes and takes the place of the church. And when it takes the place of the church, now it's not producing anything because you need the Lord. We need the Lord to do this. We're just vessels.
Amen.
Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. Paul didn't say I can do all things myself. He said, I can do all things through who? Christ. So I tell people all the time, and I encourage them, listen, deepen your relationship with Jesus. Deepen your relationship and cry out, wrestle with him, and don't be satisfied until he answers you. But be prepared. Be prepared, because there is work to be done. We're not here for just ourselves. We're here to be blessings to other people. God blesses the world through his church, not through religion. Not through religion. He blesses the world through his church. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not. He didn't say I will build a religion. He said, I will build my church upon this rock. So we have to be in tune and constantly open to what the church is and be specific, because there's a lot of obstacles and barriers in the community called religion. And it has the appearance of godliness. It has the appearance of ain't nothing. Come on now. Jesus fed people real food. Jesus healed people of real things. Where's our medical facilities in the community? Where's our hospitals? Where's our financial institutions? Jesus talked more about money than just about anything else. Where's our financial institutions to educate our people as to how to invest and buy property and maintain? These are all the parts of things that we need down here to survive, to have life and have it more abundantly. But we just want to preach a word out of a King James Bible where language is hard to understand, and then think that we didn't done something for people. Man, listen, my life's about to be cut off, Brother Rodney. I need $600. I got to go in my pocket and be prepared to give this sister $600 and then find out why she got in that situation so she doesn't get in there again. Not just give her $10, $20. She said $600. $30 ain't about to keep her lights on tomorrow. They cutting her lights off on Monday. We in church Sunday. So you got to be prepared, but you got to be discernible. And once you practice it, like I know you do, it'll work, but we got to get the resources. We got to have the resources. So if I see a homeless person, I should be able to say, well, I can write this number down for you. Call this place or get over to this place or go to this police station. They will give you a list of shelters and places that you can go to and stuff. Or call this brother or go here. That's it. We just have to have those resources. That's how you feed the people, by giving them resources so that they can feed themselves. You ain't got to necessarily take nobody in your house. You ain't got to do that. We don't have to endanger ourselves. We have to be able to provide them the directions, the roadmap. That's all. That's how I would do it. I would hone myself, give me a bunch of resources that are in the community where you choose to serve, and just make sure that you have a relationship with those people and that you can call and get somebody a bed. You can call and get somebody some treatment. You can help them. They may not have a phone. Well, let me call this person. You need to make it over here, and I'm going to call this person, give them your name. They know you're coming. Go. That's
right.
It. That's simple. You're done.
What I'm finding is, huh?
Yeah, go ahead.
Should I speak?
Yes.
What I'm finding is the resources, I could build more on my resources, but the resources that I do have and you do present, everybody's not willing because of their past experiences. No trust.
Right.
So that's where
right.
I'm at right now. They have no trust. So
right.
I'm at a point where I'm at all, like, what do I do next? So that's where I'm at. I'm to speak and help and say, this is off, this is here. I'm not going there. That's what was, you know, you get the sad stories that took place there. So how
right.
do you get past that?
Yeah, you would listen. They have to be willing. So Jesus said, "Whosoever will, let them come." We can't help everybody. And see, the need to save and the need to do certain things can become a burden to us because we're out of line, I believe, with the word when we try to do that. It's not up to us to save. Now we can try to and it's a case by case situation. So now, how much time do I have to stand here getting my groceries to talk to you? And how willing are you to make a step forward towards me helping you? Everybody's not ready. So we have to be able to discern who we're talking to, what it is that they need and want, because we can possibly do more harm. I was with a brother one time, and we saw a homeless lady, and he gave her $40. And I was like, man, what did you just do? I said, you don't know if that sister is addicted. You don't know why she's home. I said, and you just gave her $40, like, and he felt good about giving her $40. I was like, man, you should have had a little bit more conversation with her. And if anything, don't ever give her money. Give her something to eat. If she's really hungry, go take the time to go to a restaurant. Meet me across the street at this point. I'm going to get you something, whatever you want on the menu. But you give people money and you give them stuff, and you don't know what you're doing. You could hurt them. That's just if you go overdose.
Right.
So we have to be careful in this ministry to understand. And I've done that. I had to come through that and learn that. We want to do things that feel good to us, but that are not necessarily right or that are not necessarily hopeful. So you have to ask questions. Like I said, it's always good to just ask questions. And people,
right.
you can tell someone's determination to want help if they're willing to have a conversation and answer some questions. But if
right.
they're not, then you have to say, okay, well, sister, I got a number for you. I got to go. Because I'm not going to sit here and argue with you about your life becoming better. If you really want my help, I got a few questions. And you can figure out what those questions are going to be. Two or three questions that you can ask somebody. And based upon their response, you know what to do. So we set up methods in our minds to minister. We set up processes that we know are effective to minister, because that'll give you, within a few minutes of a conversation, the understanding of where this person is, whether they really want help or they just want to help, they just want a handout. You know, and we have to be able to really help. We want to plant seeds that are in some good ground. So we got to do a little tilling before we throw the seed out there.
Right.
You know, we got to do
right.
a little bit of tilling, and you can ask some questions. You can ask some questions, and I can't, you know, there's no slew of questions I can give you. You would have to come up with those yourself, because I think each situation is different. But have those questions
right.
in your mind to be able to ask them, you know, how's your health, or where are you staying, or, you know, where's your family? You know, just some general questions so you can get a little bit of information about the
right.
person. And they may not even be telling the truth, but that's on them. You're not lying
right.
to me. You're lying to the spirit that's talking through me. You're not lying to Rodney. You're
right.
lying to the spirit that's talking through me. I'm not going to be able to go back and do a background check to find out any of this information. But in order for me to help you, and if they become, listen, I'm trying to help you, but I need to know some things. I need to know how to help you. I'm not
right.
going to assume that just because you're homeless that you don't choose to be. Some people choose to be homeless.
That's true, too.
That may be your choice. But if I don't ask you, what happened? What happened? What happened? If we ask that question, instead of judging, instead of looking at people, what happened? Well, if you don't mind me asking, what happened? You know, how'd you end up out here? Because if you don't know where you came from, you don't know where you're going.
Yeah.
So those types of things, and we practice it. And once you begin to practice it, it'll just flow off your tongue. It'll just flow.
Right.
It'll become just who you
right.
are. Yeah, it's just who you are. And the Lord's going to send you, because I believe every parolee on my caseload, the Lord put me. They could have put any other agent in K-Town. The Lord put me there. These are not, I don't think there's anything by chance. I think when we meet somebody, it's a blessing for us or them. Something's coming out
right.
of this interaction. And we look at situations that way. I'm always looking for a blessing, to be a blessing or for a blessing.
Right, right.
But that's a spiritual mindset. That's a spiritual mindset.
Right. One more thing, but what I found out is when you feed, not give money, but when you feed, you don't have to ask questions. They are so appreciative, they're going to talk to you. They're going to tell you.
There you go.
And that's
come on,
what,
sister.
And that's what the
there you go.
Get a little bit, right, right. So that's when the resources have to get a little
there
bit thicker. Because they are going to let you know. Once you feed them,
that's right.
I don't have no problem.
That's right.
The man's on the point. man sat on the corner and says, well, I can't give you money, but I can go buy you a sandwich. And then that's when
right.
they are willing to open up and talk with you. Yes.
That's right. That's right. Hey, listen, people don't care what you know. They want to know that you care. And the
right.
quickest way to show somebody that you care about them is to provide their immediate needs.
Right.
So I asked you for some money for some food, not a sermon. I asked you for some money for some food, not a James says if you see your brother in need of a coat or some shoes or something, you tell him to go, I'm gonna pray for you, what have you done?
Right.
See,
nothing,
so we have
right.
to be ready. We have to be ready to provide and it'll just blow off the top of your head. And I've had some people
yeah.
not show up. I'll tell them, meet me right there across the street at Burger King. I had a sister one time went in Boston, but she needed some food for her family. Some groceries. I said, what you need? This. I went into the little store and bought this stuff and came out and the sister was gone. And I'm sitting here with a bag of groceries. But it's okay. It's okay. That's going to happen. And it's okay,
yeah.
but you're 100% right. Jesus, listen, when we look at what the Lord did, the example of Christ, he fed people. He didn't send people away hungry. He fed them real food. He healed
yeah.
them from their – if somebody's in pain – if they ain't got no shoes, how can they hear the good news of the gospel when their physical body, their flesh is crying out for relief?
Right.
See, we have to be real about what we call Christianity and the church. And the example is set. We don't have to reinvent it. Christ showed us what to do. So we have to make
Amen.
Sure we're in a position to be good ministers of the word. And that's more than just having a knowledge of scripture.
That's
how
right.
do we activate that? You're right. The quickest way to somebody's heart is through their stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Is through their stomach, especially if they're hungry.
Yeah, feed them.
And they'll sit there and have a whole conversation with you if you got time. I've experienced that too. They sure will. They
yes.
sure will.
Amen.
That food will open them right on up.
I want to get my mom in on this. We've only got about 37 minutes left, so I want to get my mom in on this portion of it. Mother, you there?
Okay.
You heard everything we talked about?
Yes, I hear you very clearly. And I'm enjoying what I'm hearing. And I'll tell you, out of all that has been said today, young man, the one thing you said that made sense to me was go get your relationship together with the Lord first.
Come on, sister.
Because
yes.
Sometimes we trying to help somebody else, and we are not in a place to help them.
Come on. That's right.
You cannot.
That's
you
right.
Running out of, you can run out there if you want to, but they're going to
yeah.
take you right
on.
Back.
That's right.
You gotta know
that's
what
right.
You're doing. You got to know what you're doing. And
Praise God.
You're called to do this kind of work, and it is a calling. Everybody
yes,
sitting in this building cannot go running out in the street talking to the brothers. I'm telling you, because
no,
you're gonna come up
no,
with
they cannot. That's
you
know, right.
You're gonna come up with some dead folks. Somebody gonna get hit in the mouth. Somebody
that's
gonna
right.
get robbed.
That's right.
So you never
come on now.
And listen, if you are not called to this. I heard you say, get in your lane and stay there. If you are not called
right.
to this, you can always help those that are through the coalitions that you were talking about. Now, I
yes,
lived in Chicago for a long time, but I'm in Des Moines, Iowa now. But when I was in Chicago, when I was there, and I lived there for years, my boys decided they were going to be black gangster disciples or whatever they were going to be. And they were little young boys, maybe 5, 6, 7 years old. I looked up. I lived across the street from. I lived out on Aberdeen across from Edward White School. And I looked out my door
okay.
one day, and they was over having some kind of gang meeting or something. I grabbed my broom and headed for the school. And so when I got there, the kids were saying, "Ooh, here come your mama," telling them, and the guy, the young man that was in charge, he might have been in his teens at that time, little Vince. He just turned around and told me, they belong to me now. My comment to him was, boy, these are my boys. And by that time, they didn't shout out home because they knew I was getting ready to beat him with that broom. And I said, I might put this on you because your mama missed you a couple of beatings that you would have had or you wouldn't have been out here. Now, a lot of those young men, when they were younger, they could not read. They could not write. And don't fool yourself. If you cannot read by the third grade, they got a prison cell ready for you somewhere else. These boys
yes,
could
ma'am.
Not comprehend. They threw them out in a mobile, and they put me out there with them because I was one that, I lived across the street from the school, so I wanted to know what my kids were doing, so I was there every day. They got sick of me, but they put me in the mobile with these boys. And they told me, these kids
right.
can't read. I got me two rulers, put them together with a rubber band, And all of them but one learned to read, brother. You hear me? Because when they went to acting a fool, I acted like their mama. No,
you're
not doing this. No, we ain't doing this.
Yeah.
You going to read this, these words right here. You going to read these, or we not, they going to be no out of school. We're going to be here all night till you read them. Come to find out, the one young man that did not learn to read, he had dyslexia. But that young man was such an artist when he got the painting until people, he never did talk. He never did talk. And as those young men got older, they were, I lived at 122nd and Aberdeen. And I had rode the horse to the bus and got off there, and you had to walk about a mile to my house. They were raping the women that got off the bus. But I never one time had that problem, because them same boys I took time with when they were little would come out of the woodwork somewhere. How they knew what time I got off the bus. They would walk on the other side of the street, and all the way they are walking that street, I'm fussing at them. Now, you know better than me. Da 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 da. And yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. And when I got to my street where I could turn, then they disappear. To show you the rapport you have to have with these young men, you can't just go around and run in your mouth. I was down that one of my sons is involved in the criminal justice system. Well, I got a couple in there, but this one, he's just a show enough knucklehead for real. And so we downtown, he was about 15, 16, we down at Dirksen Building talking to whoever you have to talk to, because trying to keep him from getting locked up. And all of a sudden I hear a whole lot of tussling and a damning and a screaming and a hollering. And I said, is that little Jim? And I told the man, I said, if this one gives you any trouble, just call my name. I went back there and this boy screamed and hollering and cussing. And I took my comb out of my purse. Boy, if you don't shut up, oh, my God, there's mama. Now, I'm not this boy's natural mother, but I have all but raised them.
Right.
And I took my comb out and went to combing his nappy head in the Dirksen Building. I've combed the nappy heads in the ballpark. I go to the ballpark. I can go right now down this ballpark right down here. They down there cussing, throwing balls. And I said, I don't want to hear that cussing. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
So down through the years, we've got a rapport with them.
That's right.
And not only with them, but with their mothers. I have fed their mothers and their grandmothers and who all know before that, down through the years. Many of them wouldn't have a toy and haven't come through this building. So see, you got to make it. You can't just go running out there and you ain't got no kind of idea. God ain't sent you. You ain't got no rapport, because you're going to end up hurt. But if you will take the time to get your relationship with God together, then God believes you will run into somebody. Marie runs into a lot of people on the train, and the Lord leads her. You run into, and God will give you the words to say, but you got to know, listen, he's going to bring to your remembrance everything you've been taught. If you ain't studied and been taught, then you ain't got to bring your remembrance.
Then come on.
You ain't got to.
That's what he said, right? That's what he said.
You got to put your
arm
on,
baby.
You got to put your arm on.
That's right.
If you ain't got no armor on, you might as well stay at home.
That's
put your arm on. And
so
these churches, like you said, churches on every corner. Yes, in our community, I don't care where you're at, there's a church everywhere. But you know what? Some people are saved and some people are not.
That's right.
And ain't no sense if you let somebody go to church and put on a three-piece suit and put on a hat. That don't mean they saved. That don't mean that. That means they're church
goers. That's right.
There's nightclub goers. There's movie goers. There's church goers. The churchgoers would be better to stay inside the building, because they're going to really make a shipwreck out on the street.
That's right.
If you don't have a relationship with God for yourself, how are you going to help me and you don't even know God yourself?
Come on, sister.
You can't. You can't. You might listen. My mother said many years, the road to hell was paved with good intentions. You may mean well. You think you don't mean
That's
well.
That's right.
You can cause more damage if you don't. If God ain't leading you, the best thing for you to do is find your coalition and put some money in there for them that's going.
There you go.
This brother talking about somebody got a $600 bill need to be paid. Maybe you don't. Maybe you can't go out on the street. Maybe you don't. But you could put some money in that kitty so that he could pay that $600 light bill.
That's right. That's right.
You
figure out a way.
Brother, everybody can't go. I'm telling you now. Everybody. And I'm going to tell you about me. Now, I'm just plain and I'm Michael's mama, and I'm just plain as day.
I forgot to let you know that's my mother.
Okay, I see it now. That's right. Just come on, sister.
They ain't prayed today. What they doing out there? Only time they read the Bibles on Sunday morning, the deacon get up and say, now we will read the scripture. So then they crack their Bible.
That's it.
Now you stay home. Do me a favor. Stay at home. Do me a favor. Stay home. Because those young men on the street, listen to me. Those young men and women are looking for reality.
That's right.
They don't. You say you come back there with your collar backward. They looking for something out of you. You coming
That's
out there
right.
talking about Jesus expects you to have something.
That's right.
And you will do more damage than good if you have not got your life together with God. I keep saying this. These folks have souls. And God don't want
That's
you
right.
to know, even if they say, I don't care if they're a dope addict. I don't care if they're a crackhead. I don't care if they're a prostitute. I have gotten prostitutes off the street and sent them home to their mama. And when the guy comes to find him, she gone on the Greyhound home. He know what happened to her. I've taken tracks, handful of tracks, and went in nightclubs and stopped guys from raping girls, little girls that didn't have the business in there in the first place. You got to know what you're doing, and God has to lead you. You
right.
can't say, well, I know Brother Rodney does it. I'm going to go out there and do what Brother Rodney do. You better be praying like Brother Rodney. How much prayer life you got?
That's right.
How much Bible study have you done? Because there's one thing about my son. I love this about him. He knows how to talk to people and respect people. How respectful of people are you? Because you go out there. Yes. Now, see, I'm not. He didn't get that from me because I don't have much tact. I'm coming out there. I'm combing your head. That's me. But you can't beat me. Oh, my mom does this. I'm going to go out here and tell everybody off. You're going to get shot.
That's right. You're going to get your feelings hurt.
Because God gave me what I got. I'm known as the queen of rebuke. God gave me this.
Right. Right.
Everybody can't do this. But Rodney, what you doing? God gave that to you. Everybody can't do that because most people don't want to pray long enough to get enough anointing to do what you do.
That's right.
There's got to be an anointing. There must be an anointing.
Yeah.
When you were talking about resources and whatever, we didn't have in Des Moines, and Des Moines is much smaller than Chicago, but these boogers didn't want to do nothing, so we've been feeding people, hundreds and thousands of people for years. Toys, 2,500 toys every Christmas. We the resource. And I'm working on a thing now, and God's got to help. My other son is trying to tell me, Mom, let that alone, but I can't. I want these churches, I want to open up my door and have some men here so that I can let some homeless people stay in, because we got all these fancy pews, padded pews, and heat going, and these people cold on the street.
See?
But we need some men that will monitor it. You see what I'm saying?
Come on.
Yes. But I'm serious about that. It's going to happen. I don't know when, but the Lord dropped that in my spirit. And we're going, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just working on it, because we've got to have some men that are not afraid to be monitoring
what's
going on, so we can get some of these young moms and young dads with children off the street. Now, if you can't pray that up, then you stay home.
Don't you
come out. You ain't praying in 6 weeks. We don't need you on the street. You stay. You go back to church. Go ahead and sit on the front row. Get on the usher board and stay in the four walls, because you are detrimental.
Right.
But if you really want to help somebody, the first thing you do is get your relationship right with God.
Get your
prayer line.
Yeah.
So that when somebody, see, I know you got one, brother, because I hear you talking. You can spit scripture.
Yeah.
You got the word in you.
Yeah.
You don't need your Bible. You ain't got the King James laying in front of you. It's coming out of your belly. That's the kind of person needs to be on the street. You don't know nothing about the Lord, but what you need to do is help somebody to do.
That's right. That's it. It's that simple. And guess what? And that will be just as good as the person doing the work. Folks don't understand.
Exactly.
Folks that will be just as good. Help the person that has the anointing of the gift to do the work. Help them, because we can't do it by ourselves. We need
and
that
brother,
support.
It's just like everybody want to be international. Everybody's not going to China to preach. But if you, if somebody's going and you know God sent them, help pay their plane ticket. Say, okay, listen, I can't go over here. Here's something on your plane ticket.
Come on.
Here's something for food. It's same thing, only in our own country.
Yeah. Yep. Ephesians 4, the body, the body, yeah, the parts of the body. Where's your part in the body? Where's your part in the body? If you're the pinky finger, be the pinky finger. Be the pinky finger. Be the pinky finger.
Ain't got no life. Ain't got no life. There should be a coalition with a pile of money somewhere that you can say, let's check out this.
That's
this is real. This is, we ain't got no life. We got kids. And don't give the money to her. Pay the light company.
No. Pay the light company. Yeah. And we have resources in Chicago that do that.
Listen, we all want to ride in on the white horse. We all want to come in on the white horse.
They call it building a brand. Right. They call it building a brand now, sister. Everybody wants to build their own brand and get credit.
We don't need anybody else for snapping pictures. We don't need you doing none of that.
Right. Right. We don't need no Facebook post.
You want to do this thing. Now, I'm going to tell you, my daughter-in-law has this in her spirit. And my suggestion to Maria is get to prayer. Get to prayer, because God is going to lead you, baby. Because you have a heart for people.
Right.
You got a heart for people. But you'll get taken advantage of if you don't pray. Because God will tell you, nope, not that
That's
one.
Right.
That book ain't mean no good. Oh, but this one here. Yes, this one right here. This one right here. But that one right there, that book will just want your money. Nope, not that one. God will tell you.
That's right. Yes, he will.
So I encourage you, brother, in what you're doing. I encourage you.
I encourage you, but sister, you just have. You just have.
I encourage you.
You gave me some fuel for the next couple of months, sister. Thank you.
Yeah, brother, I hear the oil for them. See, I know a person got the oil on them. I know. I've been doing this 60 years. I know when I hear oil. I know when I hear anointing.
Okay.
And I know when people are just running their mouth. I know the difference in political and anointing. And God has anointed you for this time. My son has that same anointing, but he's different. His anointing is in a different way, but God has given him that. And his wife has a similar anointing. And as long as she prays and sees God, God is going to keep sending people to her.
That's right. He'll send you what you need.
But listen, if we're not praying, folks, if we're not seeking God, remember, these are God's people. These ain't our folks. God knows how to deal with his people. And he loves these people that we think ain't nothing. He loves them.
Yeah.
Them dope dealers on the street, the Lord loves them. He don't condone their sin, but he loves the sinner. But don't fool yourself. Go out there and mistreat them if you want to. You're going to get in trouble with God. So let's make sure that we have prayed. Let's make sure. And don't just pray, I'm going to pray. I'm praying today because I'm going to the street tomorrow. No, you get a prayer like this. That no matter what you go to school about, you got a relationship with God.
You got to pray and
you get a prayer life. You get a Bible study going. You learn some books.
There you go.
Don't wait on.
Come on.
Tell you. Learn some books.
Yes.
And then, when you get that urge to go, you'll have the equipment that you need to help somebody.
Come on now.
Because if you ain't gonna help nobody, you need to stay at home.
There you go.
That's what I got to
there
say,
you
Michael. You know I'm very blunt.
I knew you had something for us, mother. So I love that. Okay, we got 21 minutes left. Marie, you got any final comments? We want to hear you. Then I'm gonna get Rodney to give it. I'm gonna have Brother Garvin give us a closing prayer. So I'm gonna let you have a few minutes, and Brother Nate's still on as well. So I'll come to him in a second. Marie, you have any comments?
Yes. I love my mother-in-law, and she's very, very real. And you're right. I'm very have a relationship with God. I'm in prayer constantly, and I do all those things, and God does show me. God does show me. When I'm helping somebody day after day after day, I'm like, are they trying to really help themselves? And he will show me what I need to see to make that decision to move on. So I love
there
my daughter. I have a relationship, and I know. So it just hurts me so bad to see so much out there. It just hurts me so bad. And I'm only one person. But I just want to do as much as I can. My prayer every morning is, Lord, show me where to go, and allow my walk, my talk to represent you, so they can see you in me. So that's what I want to do. And I attract a lot of people. Mom said, not only on the train, on my way to the city hall, at Dunkin' Donuts, wherever I go, I track. And so I say to myself, okay, Lord, I do not. If I do not know what to say, I just say, Lord, have mercy. I'm going to talk to my husband because I didn't. But sometimes I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say when they tell me all the bad news that took place at the location. I don't want to discourage anybody. So I don't know what to say. So, but I go home and talk to my husband. And the next day, I go home study. And the next day, I'll be prepared to give an answer. So it's okay when you don't know. It's okay when you say, Lord, help me, show me. It's okay to talk to God about that individual because you know people's heart. They will show you who they are. They will show you their sincerity. Mm-hmm. They will show you if they're only out to get some food or I make some money. No, they will show you that. But we have a relationship with God. God will let you see that person is real. That person needs some help. And so what my goal is today, Brother Brian, I want to say thank you. I want to build my resources so that I can give more than just one or two. I want to be able to give as much as I can. If they say no to one, okay, what about this one? That's my goal. So thank you.
There you go.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Brother Nate, you got any final comments?
Nate Earl? Uh-oh.
Okay. All right. I want to give you an opportunity. Brother Rodney, just give us a synopsis, man, to kind of wrap it up. As to what you think we should do, maybe an action plan you've seen so far.
Go ahead, brother. Yeah.
You see
what I would strongly suggest. I would strongly suggest that we find, like mom said, our ministry and start off looking at what it is that we can do and identifying that and knowing we have to know, not guess, what it is that we're supposed to be doing out here, because it's some serious work. And at the end of the day, the jobs and the things of life that are necessities, that's one thing. But we have to also contend with the fact that this is someone that God loves and God cares for just as much as us, just as much as everybody else. So we have to really become the spiritual people that we are supposed to be and strive to do that. I'm nowhere near where I need to be as it relates to my relationship to God. I'm struggling and striving every day to become stronger every day. I don't know no Bible. I don't know nothing. I go out here and I rely upon the Lord. But you know what? I'm going to feed myself. I'm going to feed myself that word. And I'm going to be like that Ethiopian eunuch. He didn't understand what he was reading, but he read it anyway. And what did the Lord do? Sent someone to help him. We got to be able to apply this stuff. It's all in the Bible. You ain't got to know everything. The Lord gonna send you what you need when you diligently seek Him. We believe that we have to have the answers. No, so I would say set our hearts and minds to change. Set our hearts and minds to better. Set our hearts and minds towards the Lord, and the rest of these things we will be able to see clearly and take care of ourselves. This is not as hard as we've allowed some obstacles and barriers in our lives and our communities to make it. We got to get back to the simplicity of the word. To love one another. No greater love than any man than he lays down his life for his friend. The greatest commandment in the book is to love your neighbor as yourself. This is not hard. We got to love. When you love, you don't feel bad about walking away from somebody. Yeah, I love you, but you're going back to prison, bro, because you ain't ready to be out here. I love you, but I'm not going to let you stay out here and hurt yourself and nobody else. And I tell these brothers, too, I'll love you and do all of these things to help you, but I'm going home. If you all understand what that means. So I don't bear the sword for nothing. You have to know when it's the time. There's a time for everything under the sun, Solomon says. So we just have to really get this word into us to where it's oozing out of you, and then the Spirit will give you what you need at the time you need it to use it. But it's like your mama said, it's got to be in you. It's got to be in you. And not know I know where the scripture is. I can't tell you where near bit scripture is. I can probably give you a book, a few of them I've memorized. But guess what? It's in me. Give me a situation, I'm going to give you some scripture for it. Give me a situation, I'm going to give you some scripture for it, because I didn't read the Bible, and I studied the Bible, and the Lord, I lived this stuff. So I ain't studying it to go out here and get nobody's pulpit and make no money. I study it to go out here and enhance people's quality of lives and be the example of Christ to them. That's what we have to focus on. The Lord got the rest.
Right.
We do too much. We think too much of ourselves. The Lord asked us to just to be obedient to Him. If we can't be obedient to Him, how are we going to ask anybody else to be obedient to anything? We do too much. Right. It's not that difficult. let's just keep close to the Lord, get close to the Lord day by day, make it a routine, make it a habit, make it a lifestyle. Practice becomes habit. Habit becomes character and personality. It's not that difficult, but we have to have a mind, a real mind for Christ, and really take in the gospel message. And really take, because all of the examples, everything that I've given during this conversation is all Bible. It's all Bible. Everything. It's in the Bible. Everything your mama said, it's all in the Bible. It's all in the Bible. Train up a child in the way that they should go. That's Bible. Frederick Douglass said it one better. Frederick Douglass said it is far easier to train a child than to repair a man.
Yeah.
See, so when we do what we're supposed to do in the house, we don't have to worry about what happens when they go out. But when we don't do what we're supposed to do in the house, hey, I'm going to put it to you this way, preacher. If you make the cake right, it's going to rise. If you don't put the ingredients in the cake, it ain't going to rise, is it? So when we do what the Lord has told us to do, then he's already guaranteed the outcome.
Right.
And it may not be the way we think. It may not be the results we think. Don't think too much. The Lord ain't asked you what you thought. He just told us what to do. We think too much. And the simplest thing is to just do. The simplest thing is to just do. We confuse and stress ourselves out by doing too much. Just do what the Lord said. He got the rest. He got the rest. So PB, I love you. I love the ministry of the Lord. I love the privilege of serving. It's a privilege to serve.
Yes,
the Lord don't need me. He can make my umbrella out here in this backyard, talk to people, and deliver. He don't need me. He can make that dog across the way. He don't need me. He allows me to serve in his kingdom. He allows me to speak and help people and to do these things. But make no doubt about it, there's some requirements here.
Yes,
see,
there's some
qualifications here. And it ain't no different for Rodney than it is for anybody. The lane is just different, but the qualifications are the same. Strengthen your relationship with God. Everybody got to do that. Everybody can serve.
Sir.
The question is, are you serving where you're supposed to?
Yeah.
Everybody ain't supposed to sit at the head of the table. Somebody needs to sit at the foot. And the foot is just as strong as the head.
Yes, it is.
I ain't never seen nobody move their head. Brother PB, I'm going to end on this one. I ain't never seen nobody move their head. Try to move your head. It ain't going nowhere without your neck. It ain't going nowhere without your neck. So without the neck, if you thinking your head is doing something without your neck, okay, you need to go educate yourself because your head can't move.
Right.
Your neck moves your head. So put one of them collars on and see you ain't moving your head at all, whether your neck wants to or not. So we just have to understand the biblical example that Paul gave us of the body, the physical body, and how it relates to the body of Christ, how each and every one of us has a purpose. And when we walk in that purpose, the spirit can move the body's quality of life when all of your limbs are healthy is much better than when one is not. I heard the sister before us saying that she had lost her limb to illness. Her quality of life can be the same, but guess what? Now those other limbs are going to have to pick up the slack for that one that's not there. This is the way the body works. Mm-hmm. Now there are certain things that you can't avoid, and there's some things that you can't. We suffer in the Lord's church because you got to put to people that are healthy, able, and should be willing that aren't.
That aren't.
The Lord has given us everything that we need. He's given us everything that we need. So therefore, if we're not utilizing those tools, shame on us. And the community is a reflection of that. Brother PB, I love you, man. Thank you for the time. We can talk till the sun go down, brother.
Man, I just appreciate you taking time to stop by and share your wisdom with us, man. We need to chop it up more. We need to chop it up more, man. And we need to get a date on a calendar where we can just go sit down and grab a bite to eat and start putting together some action plans. You know me, I'm a foot soldier. You know, that's why we get along so well, because, you know, when y'all doing all the planning, that's cool. But when it's time to hit the street, call me. That's what I'm ready
that's
to go
right.
in,
you
know.
You know me. You know me. Ain't nothing changed, brother.
So we need to put together an action plan that we can help our aldermen or whatever else. We try to make it there. We can't just leave our kids out here or leave the folks out here like this. Everybody ain't equipped to do it, but those of us that are not afraid that have made a difference before. You know, we need to get out here
that's
and start
right.
trying to make another difference, make some more difference. And if you just do your part,
yes,
God will do the rest. You know, he'll do the rest himself. I'm just stupid enough to see that that actually does happen. You know, and educated enough to know that he will deliver you, even in the most difficult situations. I've been there, and it ain't because of me. It's because of him. Again, Rodney, just once again, thank you so much, man, for coming in and helping us. I want to turn it over to Brother Garvin in case we have 9 minutes left. In case you got any last comments you want to ask, and then if you can give us a closeout prayer, Brother Garvin, we'd appreciate it. Oh, I got to turn your mic on. There we go. All right, there you go.
You want me to give any last words, or you just want me to go ahead and pray?
Yeah, if you have any last words or anything you want to chime in then, and if you give us a closing prayer, we'd definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, I just wanted to say those of us who live in large cities, you know, it seems like every large city has similar issues. And, you know, we know that God is the answer to those problems. And it's like Mother Holmes was saying, we try to handle it in and of ourselves. We're not equipped to deal with it because we can't deal with that person's heart. Only God can. We have to have God's wisdom in that. And then we have to move in that wisdom in God's spirit. And that's the only way to really react to someone, because everyone, whether they trying to take something, doing something wrong, they're acting out of a place of need. They're acting out of often out of a place of desperation. And we just have to reach out. And know, like you said, not everyone can do that. We have different ministries. We have different places that we have different. We're different members, all in the same body. And we have to be in prayer so that we know what that place is, and then we have to act according to God's will.
Yes, sir.
Father God,
hold on. Marie has one more question she wants to ask. Got about 2 minutes, Marie, and then we got to get in prayer. Come on, honey, what you got?
Okay, this is to Brother Rodney. All of us. Brother Rodney, did you hear the inauguration of the mayor, Brother Mr. Johnson?
No, you know, I live in Bellwood, so I try to stay in my lane with the politics and stuff. I work in Chicago. I know Brother Johnson, and I wish him well, but no, I didn't hear it.
Okay, because it was emotional. I get very emotional myself, but it was emotional, and you can see his desire to help those in the city. And he talked about what you said about it's not up to the government, it's up to the parents. And he was just, he has so much to say. He just has so much to say.
Yes.
And I want to keep him in prayer, because that young man, I believe that, you know, my prayer has always been, my prayer is daily that God will help. I wish they'd take the guns out of the youth hands and help us to clean up
right.
our street. That's my prayer to God. And then when this mayor comes aboard and you see that I just says God's answering prayer, because you see that everything that we want, and he's trying to do it, but I just want to know what can we do. I find out how to help him, because it's so much. He wants to do it, and it's so much work to be done,
right.
and he wants to do it. I just thought you heard that inauguration. It was so powerful.
I can tell you what we do to support him is we whatever block we live on or know somebody that lives on, we deal with that block. And we actuate what he's trying to do on that block. And we work with the aldermen and the local officials. We have to educate ourselves to the political process in order to make it work for us. So there's a thousand and one ways to help the brother with his vision. The Lord always gives us what we need. The problem is whether or not we educate ourselves to understand it and identify it and work with it. He always gives us. God gave us the government. He gave us the government. He gave us the police. Do we utilize these systems and organizations for our benefit, or do we allow those systems to oppress us? So yeah, we can figure out the political process, take a part of his inauguration speech, and figure out where am I going to work? How does this fit? What ministry do I have? How can I support that? And you take a piece of it and you work your ministry through it. I helped the brother. I've been helping the brother before. I've helped every mayor in Chicago for the last 21 years by being a parole agent, trying to keep people out of prison, trying to get people to walk straight into it. So I'm already doing my part as it relates to the ministry of any city. In this country. And so when you find that niche, you get in your niche and you get in your lane and you work it till the wheels fall off, and you'll be effective, because the Lord's word will not return void. So you're going to be effective once you determine what that is, whether it is. Don't be in the wrong lane going the wrong direction. You ain't getting to California going to New York. Not going to happen.
Right.
You got to make sure that we plan it out. We got the route down and we know where we're going. We didn't plan the trip. We didn't count the cost. Now you're on your way, as Brother Peavy's mama said. We got the plan
right.
for this, and educate ourselves for this. We do it for work.
Right.
We do it in school. Well, how much more so for the Lord? We got to make ourselves, we got to equip ourselves. We have to equip ourselves for this work.
Right. Because I said, Lord, yes. You're answering my prayer, so then what am I to do with this? You know, I talked to my husband. Mm-hmm. What are we to do with this? Because I heard him, and I said, Lord, you heard my prayer. What are we going to do with this? So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I wish we could answer
that.
Jesus
looked out of my...
Well, we're running fast, so...
Last quote, Brother PD. Jesus looked out amongst the people, and he was with his disciples, and he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
Laborers are few.
Jesus looked out over the people, and he saw the need, but there were no workers. He didn't have enough workers. So when you look out in your community and you see the need, you figure out what part of that need you can facilitate. And there you go. That's it. You assess the situation. Yeah. You do a community assessment. And then once you see what the community needs, now you know why your church is in that community. Now you know why your people are in that community or situation. And you work that thing. And then you strengthen and support the other parts of the body doing the other parts to help support yours. And that's how you get community.
Amen.
That's how you get progress.
Amen. Amen. Brother Garvin, we have 3 minutes. Now, can you give us a closing prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the power and the privilege of prayer. Lord, we ask that you would strengthen our resolve, that you would strengthen our purpose, our willingness to worship you in spirit and in truth. We lift up Brother Officer Rodney, First Lady Marie, Mother Holmes, and Pastor Michael, and everyone else who's spoken on the line. Lord, we ask that you would combine our efforts, make us stronger than we are, because only you could do that. And help us to do what we can to help our communities. And to we can do to help our youth. Well, help us, Lord, because this generation needs to be saved. Only you can save us. We lift them up to you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
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 Well, Rodney, man, Doc, I'm going to call you next week, Doc. We got to find some time. We can just go grab a bite to eat and just sit down again. And let's start figuring out what we can do, man. We got to do something.
Amen, brother. We ain't got to you. I don't have to find nothing for you, bro. I'll make the time. You let me know when and where, and I'll be there.
Okay. I'm gonna carve it out. We're gonna make it happen, and
it's
time to get busy. I'm ready to get back
yes,
out
sir.
On the street. So make it happen. All
okay,
right,
brother.
Love you so much. Thank everyone.
We out here.
For calling in again.
Love you too.
We'll be on next week at 10 o'clock, and well, Brother Garvin will be our guest speaker. Garvin Whitehead. He was the resident poet today, but he's also a computer whiz in many aspects and has a lot of the talents. He's going to be talking about technology and how it has an effect on our youth or how it has through our video games and et cetera, things a lot of times we see on the surface level, but we don't recognize on the bottom level. And so there's people that are predatory with that and et cetera, and we need to be knowledgeable of that. And so I'm looking forward to that. Very excited about that next week. And so tune in next Saturday morning at 10 o'clock to praise God. Let's talk about it. Love you so very much. God bless you. Have a good day, y'all. Goodbye.
Good day.